Powered from the Sereno Cigar Company Studio in North Carolina and broadcasting from the Ventura Cigar Company Studios in California, Caldwell Cigar Company Studios in Euless, Texas, Calgary, Alberta, Greensboro, North Carolina, and somewhere else in California in an office building. Welcome to episode 98 of the Primetime Show. Tonight, it's industry panel discussion number 6 as we kick off a 3-show series devoted to the 2019 IPCPR pregame show. And as always, this episode of the Primetime Show is sponsored by Saga Cigars. Every new blend borrows from the past, and Saga Blend Number 7 has done just that. It is the perfect combination of timeless knowledge and traditional tobaccos and the newer balance that today's cigar enthusiasts come to expect and love in a finer cigar. Leveraging 6 generations of experience and tradition of the Reyes family, the Saga Blend Number 7 delivers a unique, full-flavor, medium-bodied cigar. The cigar is highlighted by a Brazilian wrapper over a blend of Central American and Dominican tobacco. Available in 3 sizes at an affordable price, Saga Blend Number 7 is sure to please and bring together past and present. And by Drew Estate, check out and download the Drew Eppelman app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. Available on iTunes or Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And by Villiger Cigars. Since 1888, Villiger Cigars have been experts in everything tobacco, including offering a wide range of premium cigars for all connoisseurs. Villiger's La Vencedora, which translates to the victor, is the first ever full-bodied Villiger cigar and carries a special meaning to Villiger chairman of the board, Heinrich Villiger. The La Vencedora represents to Mr. Villiger the arrival of Villiger cigars to the premium handmade cigar segment. It was time, in his opinion, to push the envelope and create a legacy cigar that would serve as a proper follow-up to the highly acclaimed Villiger La Florida Inclán brand. This Nicaraguan Puro is beautifully wrapped in a Nicaraguan Habano Oscuro wrapper, boasting a full-bodied smoking experience featuring seasoned, hearty flavors. Be sure to ask your retailer for La Vencedora, and you can visit Villiger's entire line of premium cigars at www.villigercigars.com. And I want to mention Saga Cigars and De Los Reyes Cigars are the official sponsors of Cigar Coupe 2019 IPCPR coverage. Welcome, everybody. This is episode 98 of the Primetime Show for Thursday, June 6, 2019. It's Will Cooper. I'm in the Sereno Cigar Company studios, and I'm joined by my regular co-host and friend of the Primetime Show on Thursdays, Mr. Aaron Loomis. Aaron, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, Will. How about yourself?
I'm doing really, really good here. I cannot complain. We have a good cast of characters here tonight. We're 3 weeks away from the show. Actually, I'll probably already be in Vegas Thursday night. You guys will probably be getting ready that night when it happens.
Yep.
So we also have joining us from Euless, Texas, is Mr. Bear Duplessis coming over from Special Edition tonight. Bear, welcome tonight.
Thank you, Coop. Aaron, I always appreciate and enjoy joining you gentlemen on these special Thursday nights. It's going to be a barn burner tonight, especially with all these gentlemen, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really good. And it's kind of a reunion of the media compound is kind of how this worked out. The original media compound. So
just no White Castle and Seth was, you know, leaving us in the middle of the night to go do things.
Yeah, and you know, shellfish allergies.
No shellfish allergies, yes.
Drowning in the pool, no drowning in the pool.
we could all use a nap in the pool like you did that day, though, Coop.
Yeah. I sure, it was a great nap, I could tell you that. It was better than the nap I had in Hector's office, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. No. All right, so let me introduce our cast of characters tonight. We mentioned coming over from Developing Palates in Greensboro, North Carolina, Mr. Seth Guy. Seth, welcome back to Primetime.
Good to be here, man. Thanks.
Awesome. Awesome here. Awesome. And also coming from the land north, the conscious Canadian, the cigar surgeon himself, Mr. John McTavish. Well, John, welcome back to Primetime.
Coop, thanks so much. It's always a blast being on Primetime. This is my favorite show. And, you know, we got a cast of characters, Aaron, Bear, Coop, Seth, June. It's going to get loud. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get wild. You know that everyone from the industry is going to be tuning in tonight, just waiting for someone on this panel to rip into them. I mean, praise them.
It's going to happen for sure. It's going to happen for sure. And last but not least, coming from an undisclosed office building somewhere in the state of California, Mr. June Liu. June, welcome back to Primetime.
Thank you, Coop. I greatly appreciate it. I've been knocking on Smoke Night Live's door, but they wanted to accept me, and you did, and I'm very appreciative of it.
No problem. We're glad to. I mean, it's kind of like a reunion of the media compound last year, so I felt it would be.
That's true. Dojo was not a part of the media compound, so thus, that's not what they're. Like.
I find it very interesting how all these media compounds are surfacing this year. I'm just, it's not just Dojo, but you know, the protocol guys are now having a compound. I mean,
we're trendsetters.
Are a lot of people doing Airbnb style this year?
I think so. I think there's a lot of people that have kind of set what Aaron kind of put into vision last year.
Sorry. Aaron's the trendsetter. Sorry, Aaron. Didn't mean to take any credit from you.
No problem.
Yeah. So I know that those two groups at least are having media or, you know, I don't know if protocol is media. They sometimes are media, they say, but I don't know. If Juan's watching, I'm happy because he's not tuned. He's usually drunk on our show. He's too drunk to tune in. All right. So, we do appreciate everyone coming on board tonight as well as our audience tonight. Great show. We introduced the panelists. Pretty much anything can go tonight on the show except for one thing I think I mentioned. I just want to lay it to the audience right now. I'm sorry, we're not talking about booth size and booth layouts tonight or booth furniture. So, if you want to hear about that, you got to go somewhere else.
Was that a jab at someone? Was that a jab?
No, I. You know what? It's a little jab. I mean, I'll be honest. I did hear the halfway show, and I thought they went way overboard on that part. I mean, normally they do a good show, but there was way too much made of the booth stuff. So, you know,
I think it was 11 in the morning. They're already drinking beer. Look, yeah. Charlie just rolled out of bed. That's why it was rough.
Yeah, I just like, come on, enough with the booth layout stuff already. I mean, it ain't that interesting. That was my opinion. I wanted to hear about some of the other stuff they had on there, which I thought was more interesting, and we'll probably hit some of that during the show.
Yeah.
Does anyone – okay, maybe I'm not trying to start shit this quick in the game, but, like, does anyone really give a crap about booth size? Is that really a thing?
Well, that's my question. Is that really of interest? I mean, because it used to be – I used to see people write about the booth furniture. This was like what IPCPRP used to write about going back 2011 and 12. They would talk about what kind of couches were in the booths.
Is this like another one of your things about like airport stuff?
It was, yeah. It was in that, but that one went away. I think that went away, the booths. I think when more video coverage came in, people stopped talking about booth furniture.
Yeah, I think it's more for just kind of like the insider baseball kind of thing. So you just kind of talk about the stuff for the people that are actually attending. Because most of the, you know, regardless of that, people don't really care about what's going on there. They just want to know the news about the cigars, I think.
And they want dirt. I mean, I'll be honest with you, they want some juicy stuff. They want some tidbits as well. I mean, they want to hear something, you know, off the cuff too. So, yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you could really ever – I don't think it even pays to talk about – well, I'm not talking about it. I'm not going down that road. But,
what are we going to talk about? Where are we going to go?
I was going to talk about booth furniture.
Okay.
I said we wouldn't talk about booth furniture. All right. Yeah. So let's kind of just kick this thing off like right out of the gate. Why is it that this show creates so much drama? It is like, I mean, there is more drama than General Hospital sometimes when it comes to this trade show, and people get wrapped around the axle about this trade show. Even if they're not even going, they get wrapped around the axle about it.
It's because it's all they have, man. This is their shit, man. This is all they got. And it's like, you know, they spend the rest of the year talking shit about other brands and being quiet and hush hush and passive aggressive, and now they got to be put in the same space and they got to play nice, and it's just real, man.
Do you guys think IPCPR gets beat up too unfairly, or do you think that they get beat up fairly? I mean, because they get beat up every year after year. They get beat up.
I think Cigar Aficionado takes more hits than IPCPR. I think most people are pretty nice to IPCPR, given that, you know, they're attendees. And I mean, if you look at the amount of vitriol that's laid down to Cigar Aficionado in December, January, and you compare that to the amount of complaints, you know, or suggestions to the IPCPR.
Or when they write a clickbait article, just putting that out there.
Yeah, you know. I think people frankly take it easy in the IPCPR. I think that you know, people are being respectful of the people because they know that they're members of the industry. So I think people tend to tread carefully.
I've heard things about how manufacturers have acted. So I mean, I think we're probably polite to them. or at least I hope all of us are, especially the attendees and so forth. But, you know, I imagine that behind the scenes of the, you know, for the retailer's perspective, you're a member of it, you're attending to go purchase. But the booths are being bought by manufacturers from IPCPR, and I'm sure there's negotiations and there's sometimes hostilities that come involved with that. Silence? Is that just like one of those, we're not going to say anything?
No, I wonder how many of those, you don't really hear about those conversations because I think they happen behind closed doors.
Yeah.
The time you get to hear them is, you know, when you're at the IPCPR and someone said too many rumps.
Right. Yeah.
Spill the beans.
But, you know, I guess the draw, for example, the trade show dates, right? In reality, I heard this on Charlie's show the other night, and I think he's right. Are people always going to just complain about the dates no matter what? I don't think that problem's ever going to go away.
No.
As long as it's in the middle of summer, they're going to complain about it.
I don't think it matters. You could put it in January, and then people are going to complain that they have to travel during the bad weather. You could put it in October, and people are going to say that they have some sort of family thing going on and they can't make it. People like to bitch. That's what they like to do. They like to complain. It makes them feel better. They just, you know, they April's, just need better things to complain about, I think.
April's the best time to travel, statistically.
Why is April the best time to travel?
I just made it up. It's just okay. News. Okay. I just feel like April would be more positive. I mean, I feel like April's just, the flowers are coming out. It's kind of like spring's here. Winter's done. Maybe people would just bring that allergies, pollen. So. Well, fuck, June. You had to bring up pollen and allergies and bring me down.
April is a terrible time to travel, man. April showers, man.
Yeah, April showers.
But regardless, people are
going to bitch about
something.
Yeah, because I bitch about it if it's in April, if it's Lent, and I can't have meat on Friday.
There you go.
Can't have meat.
That's all about you, though, Coop. I mean, we're talking about the general good here. I mean, come on.
Right.
We know that if it comes push to shove, you will eat meat on Lent. So.
Well, yeah, I have been challenged on that, as John Carney can attest.
when social graces override, you know, your belief system, it's like, well, what are you going to do? You're not the kind of guy who's going to be a jerk. So, yeah. And plus, you know, steak is kind of delicious.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Grilled tofu.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking at this year's event, right? And here's my, you know, last year we kind of had Marcus Luttrell as our keynote speaker, the hand roll premiere, which turned out to be very good. This year, I don't know, I thought that hand roll premiere was key into kind of creating a good vibe at the trade show. This year we have some keynote speaker from Harley-Davidson, a little bit of an unknown, and there's no hand roll premiere. Do you think that's going to hurt the trade show momentum going into it this year?
I don't think it hurts it, but it's just not as going to be as big as it was last year.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to check the pulse, the mood, the pulse of how cranky people are the first morning of the show. Because I think we commented last year that everyone seemed way more upbeat and positive on the first day of the show versus the year prior to that. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that has to do with a positive speaker or, any kind of pre-event going into the show, how much that plays into it. I suspect it plays quite a bit.
So if you guys have looked at the schedule in the last week or two, have you guys looked at the schedule in the last week or two?
I tried to click on the schedule. So talking about taking shots at the IPCPR, I tried to click on the schedule and it went to a 404 page. So that's weird.
Okay.
That happened to you too?
Yeah.
It's okay. Weird. So it wasn't just me.
No.
I looked at it a little while ago. And right before the opening reception by General, which is going to be sponsoring the opening reception, did you guys see what's on the schedule?
No.
Like I said, no.
Okay. 5:15 p.m. Pacific time, major announcement from the IPCPR is going to be made.
So is that now, integration with the CRA?
I don't know. But
can we get guesses? Do we guess the winner of the guests?
I said anything goes on this show.
All right.
But I'm just saying.
You know what
I'm saying? Well, I'm just saying there's some sort of announcement coming at 5:15 p.m. And I was surprised I didn't hear about this on the show on Monday.
You know what my guess is going to be? I've been saying this for a year and a half, 2 years. That's what my guess is going to be. It's all about Media Day. It's just a matter of whether they're going to, or not Media Day, Consumer Day. So it's just a matter of where they're going to announce that surprise there's a consumer day in 2019 or there's going to be a consumer day next year. I think that's
They can't do it that day.
That's what I was going to say. Go ahead, Bear. Because I think
Okay.
I don't think it's a consumer day. I don't think they're announcing that that's going to be that time's a consumer day. I think they're going to announce it as a consumer day. It could be a possibility.
This is the very last week. If this is the very last week, they could announce a consumer day at this year's IPCPR. Because if they don't, if they announce it the at this point in time, the day before the opening ceremony, if you want to call it, if they announce it then with sincere all due respect, they're morons. Like they're losing out on thousands of dollars. And like, who's going to buy a last second plane ticket over a holiday weekend to fly out to IPCPR? Yeah. You might get a few, but the amount of money they will have lost by not announcing it more ahead of time.
No, they're not going to announce it this weekend. I don't think they can't do that. There's too much.
That's because what I'm saying.
That ain't going to happen, but they're going to announce. I think there could be some announcements made for 2020 is where I think we're going with this.
Okay. Consumer day is still a moronic idea, but that's fine.
Here's what I'm just going to say on that. I don't know what it is, right? But if you're going to have a major announcement I don't know if it's a consumer day. I don't know if it's a merger. I don't know what they're talking about, right? If you're going to make a major announcement on the eve of the trade show, I really would question doing this right before this trade show. And if it's going to be something that's going to basically create a firestorm, don't ruin the trade show with this. That's just me. If people listen from the IPCPR, that's my opinion. If you're going to create something that's going to excite everybody, then do it.
I'll just throw this out there in the vein of trying to be positive for a change. Maybe the announcement is there's a big exemption that's about to be announced from the government, and they're going to beat them to the punch. Huge, huge exemption available for the cigar industry.
I love you, John.
Well, it ain't happening.
I don't believe you for a second. No, there's no way. But you know, just in the vein of being positive.
We're gonna have a sushi bar at the show.
Oh,
just taking guesses here, man.
Naked chicks on the tables.
No, man. Why? I wasn't thinking like that. Man. Come on, man.
I wasn't thinking that either. What does consumer day even like? What does that exactly entail?
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. Yeah.
Fucking free for all.
Yep.
I mean, we could do a whole show and debate it.
Have you ever seen Mad Max Fury Road?
Yes. Of course.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's going to be like.
That's consumer
testify.
Day.
Right?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Or it's going to be like looting during a hurricane or something like that.
Yeah.
Aaron, bingo. That's my point. Because there's been so many things in the past, like about, you know, theft and they complain about retailers jacking stuff. Can you imagine letting consumers in there? There's not going to, they better nail down everything.
I think this is my opinion on that, but I think I mentioned this last week. I think if we see a consumer day, we're going to see a whole different structure to the trade show. I don't think they're going to try to plug it in to the current model.
Well, yeah. I mean, one would hope that they would change it, but you know,
I honestly hear the manufacturers complain about price sheets. Stop it. Okay, stop complaining about price. You know what you do with your price sheets? You take your price sheets and you put them away on consumer day. That's all you need to do.
Because
you're not going to be right. It's a lot of work. Come on. I mean, I am tired of hearing about price sheets.
There's also a thing called shredders. There's a thing called shredders.
Right.
No, you can't get the shredders, man, because then we'll get like little kids and we'll just put the pieces back together again.
if most people who.
Someone's seen Argo way too many times.
Yeah, no, man, just dude. You get the little kids, and they do. They'll figure it out.
Yeah,
she's exactly. Real man.
Yeah, I think you know, and we don't know. And Bear, in fairness, I don't know if we know how this is going to structure yet. I don't envision them. I never envisioned this as, hey, we're going to do a trade show. Consumers are going to come in the last day, and everything's going to stay the same. That I think there's got to be some changes with that. So if that happens, we don't know if that's the announcement or not. By the way, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'm just stirring the pot. I'm just making exciting web television.
I'm still going with sushi bar, man.
It's a moronic idea. I'm going to put it that out. I'm planting my flag on that. Just Stupid.
I don't know what it, I don't know.
Open to changes, man.
I don't know what problems it solves that the IPCPR has already. That's kind of where I go with. They have a lot of problems. I'd want to understand how this is going to solve some of the problems that they have with the existing trade show structure right now.
If they have a consumer day, Villiger's not going to be the last big manufacturer to not attend. Just saying.
No doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I think they're prepared.
I think companies would attend. I just think you'll see people. I think you'll see some people who just don't want to deal with it leave.
And how is that positive? That's my point. So.
Well, it would be like, you know, hypothetically, let's say you do it on the last day. This is all hypothetical. Let's say you do a consumer day on the last day.
Because all the retailers leave in the morning anyways.
Yeah. So then just a lot of the big brand owners will leave, and they'll leave, you know, reps or a couple minor people there just to monitor the booth. Which is what they'll do, because if all the retailers left, why are they worried about it?
And then consumers will bitch the IPCPR saying, why I paid my $50 for this, my $100 for this, my $500 for this.
Who said it was the last day?
No, I was just saying hypothetically.
Yeah. Hypothetically, yeah. No.
So, Bear, I'm hearing it may be a pre-show thing they're going to do.
So you're going to entrap the retailers, you're going to entrap the manufacturers and brand owners into doing this. That's cool. Yeah, they're going to be really thrilled about that.
Well, and here, Bear, you make a really good point, because here's what I was saying. Are you going to, like, if people are going to go to this, right? If you're a consumer and you're going to IPCPR, guess what? You're going to see the industry, right? You're not going to see sales reps, okay? And that's a big thing. So if you're going to go to Fuente booth, you're going to want to see Carlito. If you're going to Padron booth, you want to see George Padron. How are they going to get these guys to do this? I don't see how they're going to do that.
I think that just consumers are just going to get so distracted with so many other things that it's just going to be like,
yeah,
they'll be there for a little bit and they'll be like, oh, cool. And then they'll go do something in Vegas.
Now, I think, you know, you want to talk serious concerns. I think one of the biggest concern would be getting the sort of unwashed masses to conform to the rules about smoking. I think that would be honestly, in terms of operations, I think that would be one of the biggest issues. If you have a couple hundred people or even, you know, 400 or 500 people coming pre-show or even post-show, I think you would run a serious, serious concern of getting kicked out of the stands again.
John, you bring up a really good point, right? And this hasn't been talked about. So this year, if you look at the IPCPR website, there are some serious smoking fines that are supposedly going to be levied if you're smoking in an area of the convention center or the Venetian that's not allowed. And they catch you at your bed. Supposedly, I saw one place on the IPCPR website that said $7,500 is the fine, and the other one I saw was $15,000 on the website.
So in that vein, Coop, who from the industry is going to be the first person to intentionally try and tout that restriction and then post it on Instagram or Facebook? Because I have a few thoughts on that.
Someone's going
to... No, dude, there's...
Rocky Patel, good
call. And I'll write the check.
That's the thing, man. It's, you know, we want to get concerned about consumers about it, but listen, you pay attention enough on social media, you see members of the industry, they're the ones who are always putting, like, smoking in the no smoking zone. I mean, heck, even... I may be incorrect. I think Glenn Loop posted a photo of it. That's your head of the CRA right there.
Right.
There's a guy who's your head legislator for the cigar industry trying to amend laws for the industry, and yet he's breaking them at the same time. As an elected official, are you really going to want to deal with someone like that?
Right. I mean, there's a fair point with that. I mean, and who's going to be doing this and who's not going to be doing it? But what if it's a consumer, right? So they're putting in these heavy – now what's driving these fines is to get back to the Venetian. They had to agree, I think, to certain conditions. And a lot of people would be smoking in areas they're not supposed to be smoking in.
Well, so even 2 years ago, you think about all the people that were around the Circle Bar. Or was it 2 years ago? No, I guess it was last year.
2 years ago.
No, it was 2 years ago. Yeah, because the Circle Bar wasn't there last year. 2 years ago, there must have been...
People were out in an aisle smoking.
Oh, it's like 300 people. There had to have been 300 people in and around the Circle Bar. And, I mean, it was hilarious. But, I mean, we were creating a cloud of smoke that was wafting across the entire gambling floor. And I'm pretty sure that was probably one of the things that led to, you know, not being welcome back.
And so if a consumer's caught doing this, right, are they gonna? Who's getting this fine? Because
And it's $7,500, by the way. Remember,
are you going to find a consumer $7,500 and are you actually going to collect that? The consumer will go home before that happens.
That's why, as a trust fund baby, I'm bringing a big checkbook.
you got me right, Seth.
I mean, what if they catch Jose Blanco smoking where he's not supposed to smoke? Is Ernesto going to write a check? Or do they find Jose or do they find Ernesto? That's my question.
Oh, dude, Ernesto's not writing a check for Jose. At least I'm going to encourage Ernesto not to write a check for Jose. Smoking is allowed on the gaming areas and dedicated bars only.
So is this a sign of, you know, what we've been talking about for years in the industry, where one of the last bastions of quote unquote smoker friendly places is now becoming smoker neutral? I wouldn't say smoker unfriendly, but smoker neutral. Is this a sign of more things to come in Vegas?
Well, I agree, John. I've been going to Vegas every year since like 2002, maybe except like 1 year, and it's much more smoker neutral and smoker friendly. Like 15 years ago, it was much more smoker friendly. It's nowhere near it was 15 years ago.
I have heard that the Rum Bar has done a pretty major renovation that is supposed to be even more smoker friendly, but that remains to be seen when we arrive there. And
is that smoker friendly or hookah friendly or vape friendly?
You know, I think it all depends on how much you spend in the cocktail bar and how much your section spends. But
I don't think I've ever spent any time there during the trade show.
What? You've never spent any time at the Rum Bar?
No,
we have, Aaron. The first year I went with you, okay. We went there.
Did we go there?
For a little bit.
The one over at Mirage.
Yeah.
It was hot as shit sitting out there. I remember that.
It is hot as shit.
It's Vegas. It's
a desert.
Yeah.
No. Is it? Yeah, man. But yeah, man, there's a dry heat.
Yeah. Actually, hey, I proclaim that, and I stick by that. There's a difference between the dry heat and there's heat and humidity.
Seth, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. According to Christine Morgan, they said the hotel has completely gotten rid of its smoking floors.
She
said this is not because of tobacco, it's because of the legalization of marijuana. There you go.
They just want people smoking weed all over the place?
Yeah.
I mean,
seriously, I mean, guys, really.
Number one.
In all honesty, are we going to smoke cigars or are we going to smoke marijuana?
Yeah. Number one, do you think that anyone who smokes marijuana, who would smoke marijuana in the hallways or in the room, is going to give a flying, you know what, about whether it's banned to smoke marijuana? No, they're not going to care. In fact, they're going to say they're going to care less about somebody who's willing to smoke a cigar in their room and just pay the cleaning fine.
Yeah, that is a very interesting point. I didn't think of the whole marijuana.
I mean, the elevators smell like weed.
Yes.
Where can you smoke? So, trade show floor, of course.
Yeah, casino floor, you could smoke.
But we can smoke weed while on the floor.
There isn't a casino floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's... Yeah.
Probably a good time to ask, is the Cigar Media compound smoker-friendly, at least outdoors?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can smoke weed outdoors.
Somewhere where we couldn't. I mean, come on.
The Central Florida one wasn't.
Ask the stupid question.
Even outside, Coop? That's ridiculous. You can't.
But it was in the screen. But I made it smoker friendly.
It smoker friendly by breaking the rules.
Coop. I didn't disclose where it was.
His wife's name is on the reservation.
I wasn't even worried. I cleaned it out, but the fine was, in my opinion, it wasn't that substantial. So if I got fined, I didn't smoke in the house out of respect, but outside, if they find me for outside, I'll just write the check.
It's just a service charge to allow you to smoke, is all it is.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you know, this house really smelled like cigars when we came in. I don't know what's going on. It's weird.
Need a smoke. We'll be eating peyote, man.
Yeah, right. The trip to the Joshua Tree has been canceled, right? Because it's too far.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to Joshua Tree.
Okay.
Way too bad.
Yeah. I thought we were going to go on a spiritual journey, man. So sad.
I thought we were going to go walkabout.
Yep, there you go.
We're just going to walk to Earth.
Walk to Earth.
So one more question just on kind of trade show mechanics here. Attendance, like what's the feeling on attendance? And I hear all this. Every year I hear doom and gloom, right? But I don't know. I still hear, know a lot of people going, but every year I hear no one's going, boom and gloom, but then everyone's going.
Oh, you know, Coop, the traffic really seemed down, but everyone who came to our booth, you know, they were all buyers.
They're all buyers. I get that every... They were spending money.
They were. I tell you what, they're not kicking the tires this year. I mean, I understand, right? From a manufacturer's perspective, you got to put on a positive face. You don't. I mean, especially in front of media, because we can't be trusted. We're dirty, dirty, rotten scoundrels. You got to put on a positive face. But I mean, does the disclosure of the numbers really mean anything? I mean, they could say it's up. They could say it's up. They could say it's down. I don't know that we necessarily trust it. I don't know that it
And we don't know what companies aren't disclosing what their sales numbers are. So there's no way to ever gouge this or measure this is what I'm saying.
Didn't Gurkha disclose their sales numbers? Weren't they like ridiculous?
They disclosed that their numbers were up, but that they disclosed their numbers.
Well, everybody says their numbers are up. Like when you I went around last year, and that was my first mistake. I asked that question almost.
How's
your show going?
Great show.
Yeah, best show I've seen ever.
Like, now, okay? I'll be honest. Okay, I make fun of that. There was a couple of times where I heard bitching and complaining. Not last year, but over the years. I've heard it from several people at the show. I remember Sosa Cigars one year was really upset about how the show was going. So, I mean, I have gotten that at times at the show.
If I were a couple brand owners, especially the ones that I've pissed off, I would be on social media being like, listen, our numbers are down. Seth Humidor's out here just talking shit about us. Just get the fan base jacked up and then sales will go up.
Now, that being said, there were certainly a few booths that were visibly – you know, packed to the gills. Like Romacraft was like I walked up just to say hi, and I couldn't even get past the third tier of people stacked around the booth. Perdomo was the same thing. I went by to say hello, and like there were literally people sort of being pushed out of the side of the booth because they couldn't fit inside the booth anymore.
Yeah, so, the only time the booth was empty was when Nick Perdomo started playing the drums. That's when people left.
Yeah, it was just nuts. Joking. Like I'm it was just absolutely packed. So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were certainly some booths where there's no question that they had headcount and they had traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's certain ones that hit over there. Now, Skip, actually, you know, I can't hit it. I apologize, guys. I can't hit all the comments here because it's a little difficult. But Skip was saying he does about 20 to 25% of his annual revenue there, about $1 million. No way he's sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Christine says that's about a normal number.
Skip's got the numbers, man. Skip's got, like, his little Excel graphs, man. He's got his charts.
And by the way, Skip Martin.
We got a whole presentation last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did on his phone. He was like pulling up all these old files and everything. I mean, it was all fake.
Yeah. Skip's dropping like zero fucks tonight, like all over our show.
By the way, and he will be. Wait till next week. I'm worried about next week. You know why? Because we may lose some comments next week in the comment room.
Yeah, they'll all be live, though.
That's true. So we're looking forward to Skip being on next week, too. But yeah, and Skip has just been promoted the top fan on Cigar Coop. So
I saw the diamond there.
Yeah, congratulations. Nice. I have no idea what determine that or what the criteria was, but I want to get you a congratulations out there.
There's actually multiple top fans. He is a top fan of Cigar Coop. He's not the top fan.
Who is the top fan?
I have no idea. I'm just saying the top fan diamond is given out. I've been awarded a top fan diamond on multiple sites. It's like there's multiple people associated to it.
Yeah, interesting. So.
But, I mean, if you want to deem Skip number one top fan of Cigar Coop, I have no problem with that. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. Christine says, has anyone told you guys that media doesn't get lunch tickets next year?
They tell us every year.
I don't want to go down to lunch ticket.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about lunch tickets. So that's the
– You guys say it. Everyone says it, that they don't worry about it. And then if you didn't get those fucking meal tickets.
I have never complained about
people pitching fits.
That lunch ticket. Oh.
What was it that we were – I missed something. I didn't go to one of the food things that was supposedly pretty good.
Yeah.
It was the Indian place, man.
The Indian place. That's where I missed. It's good. They did a really good veggie korma, didn't they?
Yeah, but we're at a different place. Different place this year.
I got the best masala bud after I ate that.
Yeah, I did.
Tune, you always have to talk about your bowel movements, man.
I don't. All right.
I got to stop and get laundry detergent when we get in there.
You're getting Tide Pods? By the way, Seth introduced me to Tide Pods. I'd never seen a Tide Pod before in person.
What?
I'm probably the first grown man who's folded your laundry too, Coop.
Dude, I got to admit, I don't do laundry. My wife does laundry. Thank you to Mrs. Cooper.
Wow.
In fact, I told my wife, she goes, what did you do? You ran out of clothes. I said, Seth did my laundry.
That's a good guy like that, man.
Yeah.
It's fresh and clean, man.
Yeah.
Seth's a din mother.
It's nice to have that responsibility off my shoulders for a change.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's good. That's good. That's always good to do that. Get that. And the coffee was good. The coffee you made, Seth, that was money coffee.
Shut your mouth, surgeon. Don't you even fucking say anything. Just keep that mute button on.
Ron didn't drink any coffee.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I'm sure it was very good. I'm sure that it was very good. And I
what pisses me off is like,
for not trying your coffee.
You don't drink any of my coffee, and then like you wait in line for just like some Starbucks coffee. It's like, really? You're not even going to give
that
me
a like
shot?
That was like my minimum threshold.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess I'm not a mermaid.
Take my coffee seriously, like my cigars. I can't help it.
Yeah. Agree. All good. Anything else on the trade show itself? Before we get into some of the real cool stuff around companies and products.
I think that's about it.
Nothing on booth size?
Actually, I do have a point. The fire worked out well last year.
Yeah, we took a nap in the pool. It was great.
We got to have a nice breakfast.
Yeah, that was we went to that that place. Yeah, that was true. We watched World Cup. We got to see the World Cup.
Yeah.
I almost drowned.
That's true.
Went to a place with egg in the title. I mean, it was.
Yeah, I don't.
That was good.
But I didn't have the egg, but whatever. I forget what I had, but it was really good.
You had a burger because
I had a burger.
You said it was a good burger.
It was a very good burger. Yeah.
Coop, I think all you ate was burgers while we were out there, man. Every time I saw you, you had a hamburger.
No, I had ramen.
That's right. You didn't have ramen that one.
We're gonna get the food towards the end.
Don't get too excited.
yeah. The food piece is gonna be at the end. So, all right, let's kind of heading into. So, let's kind of go to take the road to IPCPR this year from last year. So, if you look at last year's trade show, and you've heard all the recap shows, there's been a bunch of companies that had, we would say, good IPCPRs. My question is, okay, if some of those companies that we would perceive as having good IPCPRs, who's heading into this year's IPCPR keeping the momentum going? Because sometimes companies, they get that momentum out of the trade show, and it just dies. But other companies keep it going. So, Aaron, I'll start with you since you're first on this list.
I know that the one I'm going to pick is going to be Seth on Seth's list as well. I'm going to say Royal Agio.
Boom.
Sorry, Seth. But
no, it's good.
They had a really good show last year. The cigars were pretty darn good, I think. And I think they've continued that on with the San Pedro line. And I'm guessing that they'll have something else as well to pop up at the show. But I think that they're in a good spot. I mean, I think they had a really good year last year, and they're kind of continuing that on into this year with an April release of the two new San Pedros and stuff like that. So I think that's one that I would think would kind of continue that momentum for the show this year.
I can't argue that pick. I mean, they're just walking into their booths, the presentation of the products, and the products lived up to the presentation.
Yeah.
And the people who were working at booths. And then, like I said, the products, it takes a while to introduce product to market. I think it takes about 3 years sometimes to really build a core brand. And they seem like they're off to a really good start.
They're rock and rolling, man.
Yeah.
And it's affordable sticks.
Those San Pedros, you guys have been very hot. I have not reviewed the San Pedros yet. I have some coming up. I think they're very good. But you guys have been exceptionally high on these cigars.
They've been fantastic.
And Aaron hates everything.
Yeah.
He Connecticut does. And kids. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Connecticut was very tasty. And you know that I find a lot of Connecticut's pretty boring, but no, I think they've been doing a really good job. And good. Seth said they're absurdly affordable.
I was really impressed with the booth last year. That was was great.
It was just, and here's the thing, John, you've probably done this the most. Maybe Aaron, you have too. Photography in the booths with these glass cabinets is an absolute nightmare.
Absolutely.
Royal Agio, it wasn't. However they had that late, however they had the lighting or whatever, it just was easy. It wasn't hard.
And there's lots of brand. There's a few brands where they'll really make a point to say, hey, we'll open the cabinet for you, or we'll take the stuff out if you want to.
But
they're really up on that. They want to make sure that the shots that you're taking are good quality.
Okay, and here's why this is important. I'm talking about booths. No, if you want to see the show and the products at the show, it's important we get good photography. Mm-hmm. And this is why I think it was essential to have that type of setup there.
Yeah, I mean, not all the booths have stuff behind glass. So, if it's out in the open, it's easy to take the pictures, and they don't have to take and, you know, do any additional work to
do that. It's just those little pot lights that they have set up in a lot of the glass cabinets are the absolute, like, that is 100% the worst possible thing you can do for any kind of photography. So yeah, it just ends up getting blown out.
The naked eye looks good.
The worst booth ever, the worst display ever was the Casada, that round fish. I don't know what it was. It looked like an aquarium tank where they would have, it was a round glass cabinet. And it would, you just get glare on glare on glare with that, with the photography. It was. I always had to have them take the stuff out.
That's another a new Caldwell cigar right there.
What, mine? Whose is?
I said that's a new Caldwell cigar. Glare on glare on glare.
Glare on glare on glare. There
Better
you go.
Copyright that.
Better copyright that. She's only going to make a little short term.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. John, how about you?
So I thought Crown Heads had a really good show. I thought not only they have a really good show, they radically changed the booth concept that they'd had for years and years and years. And when you change your booth, that can have a pretty big impact on the foot traffic and sort of how people react. And I think, you know, they went from sort of a more closed traditional style booth to basically an open style booth.
Are we talking booth layout?
Huh?
We're talking booth layout, huh?
We're talking booth layout. I want to give the booth layout people a little bit of love.
What'd you think of the furniture?
There wasn't a lot of furniture, right?
Was it big enough?
It was smaller.
It had this backstage vibe, you know?
It was rectangular, so I don't know if they did that to save money. Like, rectangular booth, is that cheaper? Anyways, all that to say, I thought they had a really good, that's my little love for all the booth lovers out there.
He didn't get the memo. No, God, I'm kidding. He ignored the memo.
Outside of the United States borders. So.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm kidding.
No, it's all good. Anyways, I thought all the cigars were received really well. You know, they staggered the after IPCPR releases really well. And I think they're going into IPCPR 2019 with a lot of momentum. The other one that's on my list is Illusione. And I think they had a great show. Their cigars, for the most part, were received really well. But I have heard talk of Illusione has this thing where they have a good year, an even year, odd year IPCPR curse, where even year IPCPRs, they have a really good showing, and then odd year IPCPRs, it's flat. The releases don't resonate. They don't seem to get the sort of release. June, what do you think? You're the resident Illusione fanboy. What do you think?
I don't think they released anything 2 years ago. Like last year, they released a lot, right? The one-off, the Turin, Halton, Churchill, right? Gordo. But the year before that, I think the only thing they were showing extensions. Some new website that they created. I was like, oh, that's great. What the fuck?
I think there was a couple new sizes, but like it was a really flat year. And then if you look the year before that, again, new releases. And the year before that, same thing where there was nothing.
But I think that's maybe his release schedule is every.
So is it less of a curse and more intentional then?
Yeah, Dion has actually. Okay, so let me. I think I can add to that. Dion does do an. He doesn't like releasing brands back to back years. Okay, so he tends to go a big release, like let's say the even year, and then the odd year tends to be maybe a few line extensions. He tends to make. He doesn't. The boost tends to be scaled back on those odd years. Where he doesn't like, because I know he's had issues. He's very much a perfectionist, what I've seen, in terms of having those cigars laid out in the booth. And I think he definitely scales the booth back when he doesn't do the big release. So the booth kind of has a little bit sometimes of a less active feel. It's a little more, I don't want to say dead, but it's just it's laid back for sure.
Those are the two I've got.
So can I add something to John? John, I agree with everything you said about Crown Heads in the second half of years. I just didn't think that they had that great of a show. I thought they made in the most of 2018. I thought their 2018 was incredibly strong, finishing really, really well, staggering their releases, as you pointed out. But at the show, I mean, I was really excited about the Crown Heads Court Reserve. That was a really, you know, and a couple of other items. But there were a lot more booths, frankly, that I was more impressed with and wowed at, even if there were a massive amount of products and everything. I think I think Crown Heads deserves a lot of credit, but for after IPCPR, because I think their IPCPR just I just wasn't terribly impressed. I was impressed with their performance afterwards. Incredibly so. I thought they had an amazing year.
I think their IPCPR wasn't a bad IPCPR. I think it was a solid IPCPR, but they definitely built on the momentum after that show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I misunderstood the category. I thought it was like, maybe like, had a terrific show and kept it going.
Well, yeah. And I think it wasn't a miss the show for them. So I think if you have a solid IPCPR, I mean, they get a passing grade. Maybe they get a B minus, but certainly that's a good IPCPR. You know, I don't think they went out there and they had trouble selling cigars. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And I thought they had one of the best 2018s of any company. I mean, I would put them up against anybody else, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, they won the Primetime Award for a small company of the year. I mean, so they would definitely. I think they had. What I liked what they did is they rounded out the portfolio in the right places. So I think their limited editions weren't just limited editions for the sake of limited editions. So what they do, they create a 6x60 for Luminoso, right? Yeah. They play around with the Connecticut Habano wrapper with the Mule Kick. I kind of like those things that they did with it. So I thought that was kind of smart things they did just for putting out a limited and for the sake of putting out a limited. And they didn't. I felt the best move they made is, I mean, Court Reserve wasn't a core line. From what I understand, it's a limited production line. So I think that was another smart move. I don't think they needed a new core line last year.
No.
Okay. I guess I'm next on the my name's next on the list here. I went Hoya to Nicaragua. To my opinion, I think we've talked about this on the year end shows. I think it was for 50th anniversary. No one had a better anniversary year than them. They got the accolades certainly coming out after the show. I think the cigars sold very well. People were talking about them more than probably they have in 7 or 8 years. I mean, the last time I remember there was a lot of talk with Hoya was when Jose was there. But they overshadowed a little bit of what Drew Estate did. Drew Estate had a terrific show. But I think in terms of execution, Hoya led the pack with the execution last year of that piece. So hard to argue what came out last year just from them.
I think it'd also be interesting to see what the follow-up of something as big as a 50th anniversary will be like within this trade show. I mean, that's going to be tough to follow up, right? So no matter how you slice it. So.
Well, you've also got the new core line extension with the silver, right? So you've got the
big hit, yeah.
Core. So how do you – I mean, do you – I mean, you really – probably as a large company like that, you probably don't want to do another core line release. You're probably looking to do a extension, either in a size or, you know, obviously one of their existing core products. So how is that going to, you know, resonate with a lot of the people off of a huge, I mean, that was a monster. Like you said, Coop, that's probably one of the biggest Hoya shows in 7 or 8 years. It was a monster. So how do you follow that up?
I think we said it on one of the shows. I don't know if it was Primetime or Special Edition, anything they do is going to pale this year, unfortunately. I don't think they're going to have I think they're going in with good momentum, and they're going to have good, but that is a career year that they had last year. And not saying they don't have more career years in them, but I can't see any company going back-to-back how they did that, you know.
Yeah, it's really hard to make that happen.
I mean, yeah. I hope Dr. Cuenca is going to be there again. That'd be awesome.
You know the one thing that I thought was ironic, though, and I never heard this talked about, and I was thinking about it. You mentioned Hoya Silver. I was shocked they didn't come out with something called Hoya Gold, being the 50th. Silver's the 25th. I kind of just thought there was a little irony with that.
Well, now, the thing about that is that you've got some properties that were sort of co-aligned with Drew Estate that used gold in their marketing or used gold in their lines and their names. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost wondering if they intentionally avoided that to make sure there wasn't any kind of IP issue.
Like which one? Like I'm just brain farting on this one.
It was what was the company? The owner got indicted on tax fraud in New York.
Royal Gold. That's I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, he's up in Otisville right now.
Yeah, it was a lot of money. So I think in terms of branding, I think that makes a lot of sense. But I think, you know, if you're trying to navigate those waters of whether you're going to be sued or action's going to be brought against you, you probably want to play it safe. And I think that cigar across the board was one of the most universally well-received cigars across almost every media site.
I love that cigar. I love everything about it. I love the branding. I think the label was gorgeous. And I think it kicks Hoya Black and Red, you know, to the curb. It's awesome.
Interesting. Barry, you
like it?
Yeah. Aaron, did you like it?
I did like it.
Wow. There you go.
Aaron hates everything.
Aaron hates everything.
All right. Bear, you had a couple on your list here.
Well, I agreed with you, Coop. I thought Cuerva de Nicaragua had an absolutely stellar show. Could not have they basically wrote the book on how you should celebrate a milestone like a 50th anniversary with their releases and everything that they did. I thought it was just absolutely incredible. Totally agree. I find it virtually impossible for them to follow up. And equal or best is going to be besting last year is going to be impossible. Equaling it's going to be an insane challenge. It won't happen. But I don't think it'll. I think even if they have a solid show, it could be considered a win considering how big last year was and everything for them. But the main company that I had where I was most impressed with just their performance in general overall over the course of the year going into IPCPR. At IPCPR, and then subsequently was Aganorsa Leaf. The huge task of rebranding, you know, and I know we've hit this point a few times, Coop, over the course of several shows, but the huge task of rebranding, and even though Terrence confided in us that it was a slow quote unquote process, it all happened still very fast. And it happened very successfully. I don't think, I'd love to hear if any of the gentlemen on this panel disagree with that. The rebranding of Aganorsa Leaf was done incredibly successfully, and
it was a company. It was a company rebrand. It wasn't just they renamed a cigar. This was a whole company. Yeah. So there was a lot of back office stuff that he was telling us that was changed with that.
I mean, everything from the stationery to like email addresses to just everything you can think of had to be changed and was. And he said over a long time, but it was actually, in my opinion, it was done rather quickly. It was all done in the calendar year. And they really made a statement at last year's IPCPR. The interesting murals aside,
Paul Palmer watercolor mural. I was bummed on that. I wanted the Paul Palmer one.
But what I find really interesting about Aganorsa Leaf is that they've done incredible work for years, and they've helped other incredible brands build their portfolios to a fantastic level and everything. But I really feel like virtually overnight, they became if one could argue that they were a powerhouse before, I think they've returned to a humidor staple now, whereas maybe they weren't in years past. And it's, I think this year, I think is going to continue to be a success from, are they going to have as many releases as they did last year? Is it going to be as big as a rebranding? No, absolutely not. But I think the residual momentum from last year isn't as daunting as say the 50th anniversary that Hoya de Nicaragua had. And I think that even with what's planned just currently, I think they just have a couple of releases planned. Aganorsa Leaf is really building the right way and continuing that momentum in a really, really positive way.
You know, there was an irony. I think Terrence mentioned this. It was actually the 30th anniversary of Tabacalera Tropical, and they kind of just put it on the back burner last year because of all the changes going on.
I think that was smart.
I'm sorry. It was the 40th. Yeah, so I think that was a smart move.
Wait, what cigars and coupe?
Aganorsa Leaf. So
Aganorsas.
Pedro Martin founded the company in 1978. And they did something for the 35th anniversary back in 2013. That was the Anniversario series that started. And it was really to celebrate the 35th anniversary of when Pedro Martin founded Tabacalera Tropical, which became Casa Fernandez, which is now Aganorsa Leaf.
You know, an interesting point is being brought up in the chat here about that White Hat, now La Familia Robeña, is following the same model. I kind of disagree with that. This isn't last minute. Obviously, this was planned in anticipation of the show. At least I'm assuming that's what Spencer Drake was planning on. But the Aganorsa Leaf brand changing was announced or it was actually taking place months, if not a year earlier, moves were being put into place. So it was a much, much further out plan. This was,
I think they're executing on that plan right now.
Yeah, it was a good, it's early, it's yeah. good timing. It's good yeah, timing, yeah. I would say.
Going to the show with the new name, yeah. I think it was a good, and I think it was a good, by the way, if that's what you're going to, I think I like the name change. I actually did like the name change. Okay, June, you're up.
So I kind of thought about it from the perspective of which booths had a lot of traffic, as well as, you know, especially looking at like Half-Wheel Consensus Cigar of the Year last year that happened. I mean, I agree with all you guys in terms of like, especially Hoya and Illusioni. But, you know, I feel like it's always the same players every year, right? It's like Romacraft, Davidoff, Foundation, Dumbarton. Like, I really dug the two releases from Cornelius and Anthony last year, but then again, who knows what that will be like for that.
Company. And we're going to hit that in a few minutes too, yeah. Yeah, just, you know, so.
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of the direction I took. But even thinking about it that way, a lot of the names that came up were what you guys already called out, the same brands.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, Hoya's not one that's come up every year, though.
Agreed. Yeah. That's a one-off, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah, for the most part, yeah. And then I think there's another category which we'll get into, which is like the Roma Crafts and Padrones and Fuentes, and I'm putting all of them in the same category because they're ones that don't necessarily have to have a show to kill it at the show.
Yeah, exactly. I even said in my notes, like,
yeah.
You know, to this in general, I mean, you know they're going to sell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to get some serious black card party action for putting Skip Martin in the same category there as Padron and Fuente. That was very well done.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
He's still listening?
He's still listening. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
the black card. I got one. Hey, go. Send
it. You can send it to the Sereno Cigar Company studio. No, just kidding.
All
right.
All you got to do, I said it last night, all you got to do is say Florida Canyon three times while looking into a rum glass.
No, that's good. It's good. No, he has a solid show every year. I mean, I want to hit that topic in a little bit too. So, also, now going into this trade show, just a general conversation piece here. To me, this seems like it's been an incredibly weak. Every year I hear, never a better year in the cigar industry, right? This year, I'm not hearing that from people as much. I'm hearing this is a weak year. I mean, if you look at the first 5.5 months of the year, right, or 5+ months of the year, it's been weak. It's just nothing. Has there been anything that's really been exciting this year released? And Kent, will that trend kind of change at the trade show?
I'm going to disagree with you, Coop. Leading up to the show every year, it's always slow. I mean, you get cigars that are released. You know, you get a couple of people that throw something out in January, February, and then you'll get some April stuff. But the show is showtime, man. That's when the stuff is going to come out.
Okay.
The release list. I haven't compared release list this year to last year, so I don't know the exact numbers. But I mean, maybe this is just my perception of how things go, or what I like to do is like I want to smoke everything. I don't care, you know, what it is. I want to smoke it. And there's a ton of stuff on the list that's coming out this year that I want to smoke. I don't feel less excited than I have in previous years. That's just my perception of the thing. So you guys can share your thoughts, but I don't feel like it's like leading up to the show. This year is weaker than previous years.
Here's some historical things I'll put into that context, right? So I look at 2011, right? La Serena was kind of a hot brand that was up and coming. The Emilio stuff was starting to hit the market. People were getting excited about. You had, the Cane Daytona was a big one. 2012, remember that? 2012, the Goldie start hitting, right? Goldie kind of it was a spring release. That used to be a release that came out before IPCPR.
Tatuaje was all that anybody could talk about.
Yeah. Davidoff Nicaragua. Okay, that was announced before the show in 2013. Yeah. I mean, so there's been, I can kind of go down the list with some, I haven't seen
that. That stuff wasn't like, you didn't know it was going to be a hit. And you know, until you got your hands on it and then you smoked it and you didn't end up smoking it until the trade show or after the trade show, right?
But Emilio, I think a lot, Emilio was starting to build some, Emilio didn't even go to the trade show in 2011.
It's but Emilio's coming back this year, so maybe it's just a cycle.
Wait, Cane Daytona was a hit?
Cane Daytona in 2011, Cane Daytona was big. Now, did it carry the momentum over time? You could argue that. But when that came out, that was a big release. That was a big-time release when that came out.
It hasn't had the market presence or modification of the market that the Nub did. But the Cane, I mean, to this day, you talk about sort of guys who are collectors or whatever, and they'll talk about hunting out Canes because, you know,
all
are the bee's knees.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. to go back.
I've never felt more out of touch than I do at the moment.
I mean, Coop, you want to talk about a week for cigars. Smoking. Those were the good days of smoking, man. You know, you want to talk about like it's a weak year. New releases are typically released at the trade show.
There used to be this spring release cycle that we saw early. Well,
it was like this. It's like teasers.
It was like
little alerts of what's to come. Here, let me finish. Let me finish what I'm going at here.
Sure.
From a media perspective, yes, you are probably classifying it as a weak year, but from a retailer's perspective and probably readers and consumers' perspective, it's not a weak year for them yet. I mean, it's one of these things. They're waiting for the show. That's when the whole show begins. That's when it begins, man. That's where it is. They're not worried about sending stuff here and there. I mean, maybe there's some companies that aren't like sending out like teasers or samples before the show as they have in years past. Is that what you're referring to, or are you just talking about like news of new releases? Like, we have a new cigar coming out, and we're going to show it. We're going to give you photos and all this stuff, and then we're going to show it to you in person at the show.
I'm talking about the stuff that hit the shelves for the first time in the first 5+ months. And like, it just seemed like in these earlier years, like, again, I go with 2014, the Casada 40th anniversaries started hitting. That was a pretty big release, you know.
I love that cigar.
Yeah. Davidoff Winston Churchill's, the launch in 2000, was it 15 or 16, right? That was an early year release before the trade show. So there were these releases that would hit earlier on, and there was something like, there's been some excitement. This year, is there a core line or even a big limited edition people are saying, hey, this is the cigar to watch at the end of the year right now, to hit the shelves from January on?
The American.
Davidoff Diademas.
Well, the American
Page and Necro.
The American launched on 6 days ago.
Yeah, so I consider it an IPCPR.
I consider it very. Yeah, I consider. Okay, you can make that argument because it was very. I think they just released it to Jeff's stores, from what I understand. So it was kind of a very soft launch they did.
Couldn't have done that when I was down in Florida.
I think
patient.
I think one thing that is factoring into this a little, right? So if it's like 2012, the trade show was an August trade show. Now it's a June trade show this year. So I think in fairness, some of those spring releases were probably pushed into IPCPR this year. So I think there's some reason for it right now.
I think as a society, we're just always so dependent and so wanting something new that we can't even be happy with what we have. And we're forgetting about something solid. Like, I think one of the big things for me is, you know, HVC Broadleaf, which was a limited edition showcased last year, is now regular production. I mean, to me, I don't worry about what's something new Raynard's going to produce. But okay, you turned a limited edition, which I thought was fantastic, and now you're going to make it regular production. Can it be at that same level? Because if you can now turn that limited edition, which I thought was awesome, and produce that regularly every year for as many years as you want to and keep it at that same level, that is a greater accomplishment than just saying, oh, I have something new this year, and then you can let it fall apart in 11 months. Oh, I have something new this year.
Yeah, you know, I go back to that La Palina Mr. Sam, that small 100 box release they did. And those Mr. Sams were incredible that came out.
Yeah, I remember. I bought a box of them when they were limited. And then now it's like, hey, we have three sizes of them now, by the way.
And they weren't the same.
No.
They just weren't. I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad cigar, but they weren't at that level of that initial release. I mean, there was a big difference. I mean, I remember I was talking about potentially being a top five cigar. And then when they went regular production, it kind of went right downhill.
What was the Vitola when it was a originally released.
It was like short reduced.
Yeah.
It was like the 1896 Vitola, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So last thing is, we could probably comment on this. 3 weeks out with the trade shows, this year seems slower than ever with the announcements, right? Like Davidoff, you usually know what their stuff is about 6 weeks before the trade show. Davidoff hasn't made any announcements this year of trade show releases, which I think is a little unusual for them. So, you know, there's some companies definitely, you know, you haven't really shown the cards yet. You know, General tends to wait till the trade show. Altidus sometimes trickles stuff out. But, yeah, it seems like right now there hasn't been a lot of big announcements yet. Or there's lots of Rockies announcements haven't come yet. That's another big one. So, I think do you guys see it different this year? This year just seems like, and I'm not even talking about press releases going anywhere. It just doesn't seem like anything's been announced yet.
No, Davidoff in my opinion, Davidoff just seems slower this year than they have in the past couple of years, though. But, you know, Coop, you and I have talked about it, and I don't really consider that a bad thing. I mean,
no, I don't think it's a bad thing either.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, they released the Diademas. I think they're focusing on that. I mean, I don't know.
Do you think they're focusing on it as a vault release, though? Are they really?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're not really focusing on it. Maybe they're just like, we're going to put it out there. I mean, they should be focusing on it.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, it's a high-priced cigar, and it's also a massive cigar. It's not like one of these things that you can just go smoke for the hell of it.
Yep.
To me, there's a lot of stuff that's been announced that I'm interested in. So, again, I'll disagree.
So, and we'll get to some of the stuff then that interests you. Okay.
We'll get to that list later.
Okay. So what I want to do is I'm going to do a commercial break, and then we'll get into the next couple of topics here.
Commercial break.
All right. And I want to mention Tailored Smoke, located in the heart of downtown Charlotte's epicenter. Tailored Smoke is your one-stop shop for a tailored smoking experience. And by Jerry Tobacco, the authentic Corojo leaf is one of the most robust and flavorful leaves out there. During the golden age of cigars, Cuba was a leaf of choice to make some of the world's greatest cigars. Because it was one of the most challenging ones to cultivate, it fell out of favor by the 1990s. In the Hamastron Valley of Honduras, Julio Arroa took on the challenge of growing Corojo from the original seeds, and in 2000, he reintroduced authentic Corojo back to the market. With over 50 years' experience in the tobacco business, from growing and curing tobacco to cigar production, the Aurora Tobacco Farm has been able to deliver products to market with authentic Corojo. Now with Jerry Tobacco, Julio and his son Justo bring their very own brand to market, each containing the authentic Corojo leaf. Pop Toscano offers a mild to medium cigar in both Connecticut and Habano wrapper. Rancho Luna is a premium medium cigar that is available in Habano and Maduro. And Aladino is available in 100% authentic Corojo Puro, or San Andres Maduro, representing the golden age of cigars from 1947 to 1961. Now available at your local retailer, be sure to ask for Jerry Tobacco, a legacy that's tasted in every drawer. And by Cornelius and Anthony, if you're going to be wanted for something, be wanted for something great. That's what Cornelius Bailey set out to do 5 generations ago, and that's what Stephen Bailey is doing with Cornelius and Anthony Cigars. Using the finest tobaccos, Cornelius and Anthony brings to you Daddy Mac, Venganza, Meridian, Cornelius, Ariel, Senior E-Sugars, and the Gent and Mistress. You can find them at your local tobacconist. And by J.C. Newman Cigar Company. Founded in 1895 by Julius Caesar Newman, J.C. Newman Cigar Company is the oldest family-owned premium cigar maker in America. For 4 generations, 124 years, J.C. Newman has been handcrafting many of the world's finest cigars. J.C. Newman is headquartered in the iconic 109-year-old cigar factory in the Ybor City National Historic Landmark District of Tampa, Florida. At this factory, known as Elver Hole, J.C. Newman rolls premium cigars by both hand and hand-operated antique cigar machines. The J.C. Newman Pensa factory is the second largest factory in Nicaragua, where Brickhouse, Perla de Mar, El Baton, and Quorum cigars are hand-rolled. J.C. Newman's Diamond Crown, Maximus, and Julius Caesar Black Diamond cigars are handmade at Tabacalera A. Fuente in the Dominican Republic. With its longtime partners, the Arturo Fuente family, the Newmans have founded the Cigar Family Charitable Foundation, which supports low-income families in the Dominican Republic with education, healthcare, vocational training, and clean water. Visit www.jcnewman.com to learn more. And be sure on Wednesday, June 12th, to check out Have a Smoke with Stanford Newman. A smoke dedicating 113. I screwed that up. Have a smoke with Drew Newman and Eric Newman commemorating the 103rd birthday of the legendary Stanford Newman. They're going to be doing a live webcast on their Facebook page. There's a link on Cigar Coop where you can do that. Okay, just real quick, because a couple of folks were asking, what are folks smoking tonight? I know, June, you're not smoking, correct?
No, I am in California, and they don't allow us to smoke in the office.
Sorry. Yeah. So go around the horn. Seth, what are you smoking?
I started off with this Aganorsa Signature Selection. Now I'm smoking a Davidoff Grand Cru, man.
There you go. John?
Sadly, I'm not smoking tonight as the, of course, weather in Calgary, I was mentioning before the show, it has gone from high of 70s to thunder showers and snow later tonight. So, delightful.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Put a beanie on and man up, dude.
All right.
No, I'm not worried about me. I can get wet. I don't care. It's the laptop, the lighting, the camera, the microphone. I need like a tent.
Yep. Bear, what about you?
Well, I just wrapped up a two-year-old Davidoff Winston Churchill Robusto, and I just lit up a Avo Domaine Robusto Tubo that you and I picked up at Jeff Borshowitz's Corona Cigar Company in Orlando, the Sand Lake store.
Sand Lake in Orlando, yep. That's
Domaine 10, excuse me.
Yep.
Not Robusto.
Underrated cigar.
Oh, absolutely. Love this blend.
Yep. Aaron, what about you?
I'm smoking a Villiger La Libertad.
So. Wow.
Wow.
Wow, there you go. You don't hear about that. That cigar's out still, but you don't hear as much about it these days.
What age, Darren?
Maybe a year. Yeah.
From the show last year or just
Just from
Is it the old banding or the new banding?
That's the new banding.
The one that has Villiger's name actually.
Yeah. Yeah, because they used to have the
it was that red. L, man.
Yeah, that's what I remember the big. And I'm smoking a unicorn, right? I'm smoking the Crux Epicure Gallant. which is now the Crux Epicure Maduro. But this is the Crux Epicure Gallant I got at the trade show last year. So
I forgot to mention the cigar that I was intending to light up tonight because it's relevant to the conversation that's coming up later was a Soapbox Lancero.
Oh, nice.
Dude, I picked up a ton of those dissidents when they basically went away. That was awesome.
But the thing is, the Soapbox Lancero, it was a unicorn because it wasn't a released Vitola. It was an internal Vitola to dissident.
They were giving them out. I remember they would give.
You got it at the trade show.
Mm-hmm.
I got one at the old Chattanooga tweet up from those guys.
Nice
cigars, man. Anyways, I know we have that to talk about later. So
yeah, we're gonna hit that. So let's get into the next topic here, which is who's not going to the trade show. Right?
June's not going to the trade show.
June is not going to the trade show.
He's tired of these rules. He's like, I'm not going to play by your rules. Screw you guys.
I want to smoke weed on the trade show floor. And God damn it, if you don't let me do it, I'm not going.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do, man.
Yeah.
Because of your bursitis or whatever.
Yeah. So I think the big one right now, I mean, I think we all talked about Villiger already, right? So I think we covered Villiger quite a bit, right? So I think that's the big one. But I think Cornelius and Anthony is the other big one right now.
Yep.
And what do you guys think?
Sadness.
Seth, what do you think in particular?
I can understand from their purpose of why they're not going. What are you laughing about?
Kidding.
Go ahead.
It's terrible, Coop. God, you're such a troll.
I'm not surprised that they're not going. I mean, if you're not going to have a successful trade show, that I know they attended TPE. If the market's not there for them and they don't need to go, why spend the money on it?
But here's the thing. So I go back. If you look at like a Skip Martin, right, and Romacraft, right, and I think it's a good example. He doesn't come out with new stuff every year at the trade show. He's at the trade show. He's there for his customers. And you know what? His booth is one of the busiest booths. So Cornelius, okay, maybe they didn't have something new this year, but why shouldn't they be at the trade show would be my question.
You mean why Villiger or you say Cornelius?
Cornelius and Anthony. I'm talking Cornelius and Anthony.
Why would Cornelius and – gosh, I mean,
because I think you could use the argument that maybe this would be the perfect year to be at the trade show to keep, you know, obviously with the changes going on in the company right now, this would be the perfect time to be with your customers and give them some reassurances right now.
Because I think your customers are already giving up on you because it's just, they don't have any reps and everyone's just gone. I mean, that's how it is in the Southeast, especially in our area. You know that.
Well, that's tough. It's no doubt. I mean, there are some reps. I know there's, you know, I know Joe's up in the Northeast working that line still. But, you know, I think, you know, that old notion that sometimes you skip a trade show, it's hard to recover from, it's hard to come back.
Well, it's the problem with what they did was they released people, which, you know, that's your business decision.
Right.
But I think you need to come out with a statement afterwards and talk about the future of the company. Instead, it's just like, we're letting go of all these people.
Yeah.
And we haven't replaced them. We haven't announced what we're doing. It's just like, you're getting rid of them. And that's who the retailers are dealing with. And all of a sudden these people are gone. What retailers are going to be like, why am I going to even bother working with this brand anymore?
What, I mean, has there ever been a precedent where we've seen something like this happen where there's been a staffing overhaul and then you had to go into a trade show? I mean,
Villiger do that? Villiger, yeah.
But they did at the end of the year though. And they had some time to recover before the trade show. But I don't know if there's ever been this particular scenario where Coyne & Anthony, I'd say a decent sized boutique, not a mega company by any means, where they basically, a lot of people were let go and now they're kind of saying, well, what do we do with the trade show?
I mean, as a company, I do think they're missing out by not going. I mean, they're right by Espinosa. I think they had a pretty good show. I mean, they had their two new releases were well received by multiple online media sources sites.
Yeah.
But none of them are credible, Seth.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
No, I know, but I mean, I agree with you on that, but it's just like, and then all of a sudden it's just, there's all these, you have this great hype, you're not announcing anything, you announce all these terminations, there's no follow-up statement. And so it's just kind of like, what do you expect for, I mean, people are going to give up on it.
Yeah, I mean, you have what could be sort of your benchmark hallmark year for releases, received really well, showed up on the consensus list, and then, you know, the follow-up is a bunch of staff are gone and, you know, you're questionable as to how you're going to present at the IPCPR. That's not exactly how you want to follow up that kind of year.
No doubt about it. I mean, you could argue last year was their best year. I don't know what the numbers were. I can't say it, but kind of attention and kind of acclaim they were getting. They were starting to really get some.
That was their best year, man. Yeah, that was their best year.
Yeah, last year. I mean, no doubt.
It's disappointing because they built so much momentum pretty quick, right? Throughout their short, 2-3 years or so, and it's so unfortunate to just see it in this state. That's what I'm most disappointed about.
It's just, they want to go out on top.
Yeah, and then especially meeting, you know, like Courtney and Todd, like all those guys that are, you know, they're good stand-up folks, right? So it becomes more of a, it becomes bigger than just, oh, these are good cigars. Like it's people are cool too, right? So, you know what I'm saying, Seth?
Fuck you guys.
I mean, if the chat room's any indication, I mean, there's a bunch of people that have just they've already written it off, and if that's, I mean, granted, that's a small sample size, but
that's the only right conclusion. I mean, you have to assume that they're done.
Yeah. By the way, I got breaking news here: the St. Louis Brewers have beat the Boston Bruins 2-1, and the Boston fans are complaining about the refs.
Nobody cares about hockey.
Is this NHL? I thought NHL finished like 4 months ago when the last Canadian team got eliminated.
Thanks, John.
I can tell you the Mike Bellities and the Sean Hardemans are already complaining about the refs. So just let's get back to our regular schedule programming here.
Let's talk about something more important. Dallas Keuchel signed with the Braves.
Let's talk about something
basketball
else.
Or football?
Let's talk about something else.
It's baseball.
Let's talk about.
Don't get me going on sports. I'm going to start talking about tennis.
No, guys, let me kind of get back to Cornelius and Anthony for a second here. If Cornelius and Anthony was at the trade show this year, I mean, would you be let's say they were there this year. How would you guys be covering them this year? I mean, how, what would you guys be doing this year as far as that goes?
I don't want to be
the
there.
The headcount changes, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to ask the question, right? You have to ask the question.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of times we'd be in that booth, and that's a booth where you kind of would sit back and chill for a little while. They had the nice couches there. Courtney would bring some pretty good
furniture.
Pizza. Yeah. Oh, well, you went furniture again. Okay, but it would be a booth where we would go, and sometimes if you need to kind of get off your feet for a few minutes, that was always a booth we would kind of kick back in a little over the years. It was right near the Espinosa booth. I mean, no doubt I think it would have a different feel this year without Courtney and Todd there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it would definitely have a different feel. I mean, we'd still go to the booth, but I just think it would be a very different vibe for sure.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be going in, buddy, buddy. You'd be in like, I'm meeting you for the first time about this brand that I've already had a relationship with. And what does that look like now?
Yeah. True. That's true. Another company, right, that people haven't been talking about not going to the trade show. And I thought this was, there's others, but I just want to mention one more. The Crossier is not going to be at the trade show this year.
Yeah, I was sad to hear that.
And I'm surprised with that one. I know it's an expensive proposition for a small company like Santana's company to go, but I think this year he really needed to be at the trade show, especially with that Lords of England release he's kind of trying to promote. And I think it's a big miss. Even if he scaled back at the trade show, I think he still needed to be there.
His booth was so empty last year, I remember.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of his booth location wasn't, I mean, whatever.
I didn't get to his, I felt bad. I didn't get to his booth. It was in the hinterland last year.
Yeah, it was, yeah, literally in the hinterlands. It was in the far top corner, which is really not where you want your booth to be. And you definitely got the impression that the traffic at the booth wasn't great. And it's really sad because, you know, I love the brand.
Presentation there too.
Presentation was good. He's, you know, he's always welcoming. So it's unfortunate because the risk is, I mean, I don't know what the stats are. I'd love to punch this up in visualization software, but the likelihood of a brand dropping from the IPCPR and never returning again. And I'd say if you drop from the IPCPR, the likelihood that you will not be back again is extremely high.
The only company I could think of that really bucked the trend was Recluse.
Southern Draw.
But the Southern Draw display at a previous one they did and then took the year off?
Yeah.
Southern Draw came back like Rocky, man. It was like Rocky too.
Yeah.
Didn't JSK miss a year?
JSK did miss a year.
It was like 2 years.
Yeah. And I think it's say, that's a good point. That's a good one too.
Good one.
But I think to John's point, there are more exceptions than the norm.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the number of brands that have dropped from the IPCPR in previous years, I mean, it's a graveyard. It's not good. If you drop from the IPCPR, unless you're signed up with the TPE, there's a very high likelihood that we will never see your brand at the IPCPR again.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Do you think Villiger comes back to that point, John?
No, I think they've made their commitment to the TPE. I just think strategically, if you've made that call, you attend the TPE in 2019. You don't wait a full year and a half to attend the TPE in 2020. That to me was a big strategic error. And maybe there was a bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes that made that not possible. Like maybe there wasn't enough time. Maybe they had commitments to the IPCPR. I just think in this day and age with cigars and, you know, I think the average customer has the, to coin a Hector phrase, they have the average mentality of squirrel. No, sorry, that was Saka. My boy, that's awkward. Anyway, consumers forget about your brand extremely quickly. So if you're out of the mind of the consumer for 6 months, let alone a year and a half, I mean, that's tough. Now, granted, you know, they're building their brand in the United States, but I think they had a lot of momentum. So, you know, that move to me was just really bizarre. I would have, if it was me, I would have attended the TPE in 2019, announced that I was not attending the IPCPR in 2019. People probably would have figured that out. And then, you know, you haven't lost that entire cycle in half. But you drop from the IPCPR, I just don't see you coming back.
The thing is that I think this was a critical one that the Crossier is missing because Lords of England got major press from Aficionado on that thing. So you had a chance to really build on that. And it you know, and again, we heard the numbers earlier. The companies report 20-25% of the numbers that that's a, and I'm sure it's strategically they grow that after the trade show. So I think this is a big miss for him not to be at the trade show this year. I mean, hopefully he comes back, but yeah. All right, let's kind of there's a couple of other, but I mean, I think we know the. I mean, there's a couple of others that aren't going. American Caribbean's not going. Ezra Zion, I don't think was planning on going. So
hey, I bumped him under the fight in Dallas last time. That was entertaining.
That was yes, you did. You didn't get me an Ezra Zion fried chicken, by the way. I was very disappointed.
So I didn't get myself one either.
Yeah, right. They were just rolling around the trade show pouring whiskey. So
yeah, Old Canadian.
That sounds.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad at all. I thought it was actually very good.
Coop really wants the Nomad waffle cone. That's the unicorn he's after.
If anyone can send me a Nomad waffle cone, I will make it up to you. You can send it to the Sereno Cigar Company Studios. I'll give you the address. Yeah. All right. You know, I'll hit this topic real light. I don't want to go too deep in it, but you know, we see these companies. They have different strategies. Like, and I think they've come out. There's like three of these. Like, they either come out with a new release for the show, they either do a line extension, or they don't do anything. Right. Has anyone, like, let's go to the don't do anything category. We talked about, could a small company like that, and I'm not talking, I'll put Roma Craft as an exception. Can a small company, like a small boutique, go into the trade show with nothing?
I don't think so.
Just your comment, Coop. I don't think Roma Craft has ever not done anything. I think they've always had something.
They'll showcase like even their projects, which I love. Right. So it's kind of, they have kind of an expo feel in their booths, which I always like about
That's a good turn of phrase. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, the 1 year when I skipped Skip's booths because I said he had nothing new. He really kind of corrected me on that, and it wasn't a fair thing. So you know, when I went in there and I saw. It was great that even though you couldn't buy that stuff, it was cool to see what they did. Oh, it was kind of had that feel with it.
I mean, I think that the challenge you really have, you know, three kind of companies. You have your boutique companies, you have your sort of established company that's been around for a while, and you can call them boutique, you can call them mid-sized cigar company, and you've got your large manufacturer. And it's interesting that, you know, so often it's the mid-sized companies that are doing sort of the line extensions in terms of just adding an additional size. And it's the two pigeonholes. It's the large company that's constantly coming out with these new products. And it's the boutique companies coming out with new products. And it's so odd to me that it's the mid-sized companies that are just sort of focusing on their current existing brands and their core lines. And it's the sort of pigeonhole, the, you know, bookend companies. And to me, it's just an odd thing. I've never understood.
I think the big companies are trying to compete with the little companies. I think they're just trying to prevent them getting shelf space, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of liked the Robert Holt approach he's taken with some of his stuff, where he makes some of the line extensions. He takes it, he treats it as if he kind of puts the same amount of marketing into that to kind of promote that line extension as he would with a new core line. You know, and I think 1502 does a good job. They slowly introduce new sizes of their lines. Crux kind of does a little bit of that too with their line extensions. So I think if you kind of message it right, you can make line extensions exciting. But you kind of have to put – you just can't kind of say, oh, I have a line extension and just kind of bury it. Because then what's going to happen is if that's what you're going into the trade show, you're going to be buried at the trade show if you're a small company. But if you kind of put some – yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're still talking.
No, I was just saying, I think if you're a smaller company and you just don't put some emphasis on your line extensions, I think you're going to be in trouble at the trade show.
I think what Crux did that was really brilliant was, you know, when they first came out with everything was like in one size.
Yep.
For the most part.
Those Nymphas were like,
There was the Nymphas. Remember, there was the Bull and Bear was just like this one size. And then they added some sizes. And it's a really cool concept if you think about it. Like, you release a cigar in one size, you give it a year, have it, you know, see how it's doing, it does well. Then you can add another size. And if you just add one more Vitola and you keep on making a regular production over the year, you're going to get people excited and interested in the new. The next thing.
Protocol guys are a great example of that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Recluse as well. I think, you know, he's done a great job of focusing on core lines and just building on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you can do it, but I think if you just like bury it, then it's gonna, then no one's gonna be, like, if you put some interest into that before the trade show, make people excited about it, I think they'll talk about it and they'll come over there.
Also, can we make Coronas great again? Can we get away from Lanceros and make Coronas great again?
Hey, you know what? I just heard today from Jerry that they're coming out with a Corona size of the Maduro.
Don't tease me. Why you gotta tell me that?
No, it's fact. I mean, it's not a secret.
You're talking about the Aladino?
Aladino Maduro Corona. Yep, nice. I'm pretty pumped on that one. Yeah.
Apparently, I need to add to my list of cigars I'm looking forward to.
And I go back every year with Casey. I go, Casey, please bring back the Passport Half Coronas. To me, that was one of the best cigars I ever released.
Oh, those are great.
I just miss it. I wish I could bring it back. I wish I had the ability to bring it back.
I would love to have smoked a Passport, man.
You never smoked.
Don't call.
You can say anything
you want, Bear.
I've smoked Passports, but I have not smoked a Passport because every Passport I've ever smoked was plugged. That was really a shame. They had that really bad problem that they fixed. And I just haven't had the ability and access to actually get to it after they made the correction on it.
Passports brought to you by Habanos S.A.
Nobody got shit on Cubans like that.
Everyone I talk to is like, the Passport. Oh my God, it's amazing. It's incredible. And I'm like, oh man, it's so frustrating that I've missed out on that.
But those half Passports, I mean, I smoked a lot of them. I used to, and they were amped up Passports.
I don't doubt it at all, man.
But I never had a draw problem with them.
I did.
I think we have.
It was years ago, dude. I was smoking those things back when fucking Sesquimador was in the rage.
Wait, those are really cheap, right?
Yeah.
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 I think we first started the website and then we smoked those. Yeah. No. Those are so good, Bear. Anyways,
all right. Yeah.
I dig their stuff. Everyone knows that, man. I dig their stuff. I just that was the most frustrating thing for me.
It'll kill a cigar if it's plugged like that. So
yeah, you can't get past that. That's one thing you can't get past.
All right, let's kind of go into the next area here, which is companies we're watching closely this year at the IPCPR. So these may be companies that we're interested in. We definitely want to see. We're kind of curious to see what's going to happen at, what they bring into the trade show. They've announced some stuff maybe already, or maybe they haven't announced it. We're kind of curious. And I want to start this off with Aaron, because the first company you had listed, I had no. Who is this company?
Who?
All right, yeah. Coop. You're doing yourself a disservice right now.
I'm being honest. I'm being totally honest. Did I ACE? If ACE Prime's out there, I did not get a press release from you guys.
Who? ACE Prime. All right.
Yeah.
So this is a company that starts off by bogarting a name from one of the most powerful companies.
Now
on a bad foot. All right.
But I know the. Okay, I know who it is. I know this is. Now,
wait,
I know
what?
It.
Keep going, Aaron. I don't know.
The press release did not come my way. Yeah.
They're doing the. They start out. We're going to do the Maximus by Dominique Wilkins and whoever this other guy is that I've never heard of before.
He's on the Sixers.
I don't follow basketball, and I definitely wouldn't follow a Philadelphia team, but. Anyway. So they changed the name to that, and then shortly after that they announced that they're going to be like five other lines and something like that. So it's a brand that this is their first show. They've got their booth, and then they have a separate booth, which is like a basketball court at the show.
What?
How can this?
Oh, this is what Charlie was talking about, the basketball. Okay, I know what this is. Yeah,
this cannot be a brand that you have to like. What is this company going to do? Like, this is like. This is like McAuliffe 2.0, because McAuliffe, the first year, this booth was like crazy. I'd never heard of this brand. The booth was packed with these hot chicks and all these other retailers.
I know.
They got cameras all over the place, like documenting everything. I'm like, what's happening here? But I just like, we're just keeping a close eye on these. We're not saying bad. We're just saying, I want to kind of scope this one out, figure out what's going on.
It's a fair comment.
Prime is the number one brand that I want to check out.
I was calling them whatever Maximus, now what are they, M or something?
XS.
MXS, yeah. That's why I just didn't correlate the line. And by the way, when that Maximus came out, Bear and I were sitting at the Davidoff store in Tampa. You guys were online. And how long did we have a conversation saying that name would be changed within a week? We all called it. That thing would be renamed within a week, and it was.
I can't believe it took that long.
Yeah, I said Drew Newman was probably already on the phone.
Coop and I were sitting at the store, and we both Google it, right? We both Google
Maximus Cigar.
Maximus Cigar, and like for the first four pages of Google, everything is tied to Diamond Crown.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Including the trademark ER page is on there. Yeah.
Including the trademark page.
I tried using Google, and nothing came up. What happened? I tried using Google.
It's like K9 Cigars, man.
Yeah, well, K9, according to them, they said it didn't come up in the Google search. But I think Maximus.
Maximus is going
to come up. I don't think you needed a Google search with that one.
Yeah, if you need a Google search to search Maximus, you've already failed.
Yeah. So that's a strike against them right now with me.
Mike Wilkins, why don't they just call it the windmill, man? Just get it over with.
Probably taken.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, you had some other really interesting ones on here. I think we're going to hit this one's probably on a lot of ours. So why don't you hit this next one?
My next one was Black Label.
Oh, yeah. Which is now Oveja Negra. Are you talking Black Label or are you talking Oveja Negra brand?
The whole umbrella, everything that he touches. So
yeah, so now it's going to be Oveja Negra brands. Yeah.
You got, you know, Black Works. You've got Emilio. You've got Dissident in there. Everything that is involved in that, that's something I'm interested in kind of keeping an eye on, seeing what happens.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot he's got going on. It's a big trade show for him because, in my opinion, there's a lot he's putting into this year. He's got his mark. He's got his core following right now. But what he's doing now and these brand extensions, which I know we're going to get to some of these as well, he's got to go beyond that this year. He's got to tap into the Seth, I'm trying to think of the Mid-Atlantic Mob, the MAM retailers now, which he started already. Yeah, he's got to start hitting
it's our area of our
I know. Tinderbox has brought in Black Label already, but now can these other lines make? It's going to be a big. He's going to have to do some big numbers this year. So I think there's a lot of attention, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them this year.
Another one is La Palina. It's a brand that. I'm well documented in kind of hating on. Ever since Courtney left, that brand has gone downhill. Ever since they launched the La Palina Classic, they killed the brand. The booth's always empty. So I'm just interested to see if it's still the same process. I know they tried to start hitting up some media last year, but I don't think it went anywhere.
They didn't have a lot to show last year.
The bronze was actually a pretty good cigar. Kind of the first third reminded me of back in the olden days. But, I'm just like.
Blue Label's great, too.
As a train
wreck. I was disappointed with Blue,
I'm interested in watching it as a train wreck.
Give us any time last year at their booth? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Remember what's his name?
We had an hour with Bill. Barron had an hour with Bill, actually. They were good guys. They made it. Let me tell you, they made an attempt. They heard the comments from 2 years ago, because I'm telling you, Clay came up to me and he asked me if everything was okay this year.
I just remember Twin Engine Coffee from La Palina.
Yeah, that's. I don't remember his name. I'm blanking on his name, but he's the one that spent all the time with us and kind of
Colin.
Colin. Bill came up. Remember Bill. Bill helped us. Sammy the Jew helped us.
No, Bear and I spent an hour with Bill. We had a lot of time with Bill this year. I was surprised how much time we got. Yeah.
That was okay. That was incredible. That was wonderful.
But they didn't have much. But they didn't have okay. But take that part of that. They've got to get something to excite people about La Palina this year at the booth. I mean, there's no. I mean, the line. I don't think Blue Label's enough to do it. And I think they got to get some line. The line extension. They got to get something to get people. Like they reblended the El Año 1896, right? And when that first came out, it wasn't a very good cigar. It's a much better cigar. And they didn't put anything to talk about how they moved that from the Dominican Republic out of PDR into Plasencia, which made it a much better cigar. So, I mean, they didn't tell the people needed to hear that story, because I think people may remember the original El Año 1896, which most folks didn't really care for.
What did the old school, Allison's and Babes and all that stuff back when it came in those dress boxes? Where did they come out of?
They went out of Grey Cliff.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, but,
Long gone, right?
they were long gone, but the first batch that came out of them were fantastic. Everything after that was they went downhill. That batch, they were having problems with Graycliff like by 2011, 2012.
Every time I bring this up, you keep telling me, Coop, that it's still out there, but I've yet to see them like on any shelf of any cigar shop that I walk into. What Black Label and Red Label were hits, man. They were hits. And they're good cigars too.
I haven't
seen it. And in fact, the last time I saw a La Palina Black Label, I'll tell you when I saw it. It was the first time we interviewed Glenn Loop on Special Edition, Coop. That's what he was smoking. That's the last time I saw a La Palina Black Label. And I really enjoyed that cigar.
I don't know what the status is. I know for a while they were off the price sheets. I think they're back on there now, so I don't know if they moved it or not. It's a question I would ask at the booth this year, the status of those lines.
Hey, Bear, how long have you been smoking cigars for, just out of curiosity? Like, how many years? Yeah.
I'm 35. Since I was 18, I can't do math right now.
Oh, wow. Okay, long time.
17 years. So you've been smoking since 2012.
Okay. So you know about that.
2002.
Okay.
So I know about the, what?
Oh, like when I was talking about, like, the old school Allisons and the
Xenica. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I wasn't lost on that. No.
Those were great.
Those were special batches, man.
Yeah, they were. They absolutely were. Okay, so I had a couple in here. You have one more, Aaron. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the last one I had on the list was Nat Sherman.
This is a big show for them. I mean,
Altria announcement, comment, you know, John did a great write-up on that.
Altria made an announcement? This is the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah, I mean, John took the unpopular opinion and took his lashes for that. But, I'm curious to see what the fallout is from this show for that comment. So it'll be interesting.
And they got some limiteds they're coming out with at the show.
Yeah, they got some early stuff, so it's interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, time has a way of healing things in the cigar business. People have short memories. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious to see if that announcement had happened in like May of this year, it would have been a disaster.
People forget about it.
It happened right after the trade show last year. Yeah, people forget. I'm seeing people, you know, smoking in at Sherman's online again, you know. So I think there are people. I think they did lose some people. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Herklutz is doing a great job of, like, you know, keeping up the face and doing
damage control.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Marketing, really working it, and that guy's brilliant though. So
yep. So I got some on mine. I had Black Label.
Can you do me a quick favor, Coop?
Yes, sir.
Can you go to June next?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's go to June next. I you're right.
Oh. Hello. Okay.
I can't be nice, June. No, just
No, I mean, you know, I'm gonna say AJ Fernandez, stuff that has his actual name on it. There's so many years when I'm just kind of like, what is this? Like, this has beautiful construction as expected at this point. But flavor profile is just always the same, you know? And we hear so much about how AJ has so much tobacco and everything, but, you know, in terms of just hitting our palates, like I certainly know that it doesn't really hit Aaron in my palate. You know, and we've reviewed many of AJ cigars throughout the last few years. So I keep wanting to be hopeful for something that he comes out where I'm like, man, this is it. Right? And then truly understand what everybody else seemed to love so much about his cigars. Because right now I have no idea what it is.
Have you smoked the San Latano Dominicano?
Yeah, right here.
I have not. Not that one. And he's been really quiet with news so far within this year's trade show, right?
See, I would have held this release for the trade show, right? And I would have launched this thing at the trade show with him and Hochi in the booth. Would have been – I think they were trying to do it at Pro Cigar was really the issue, why it didn't happen, which makes – to have AJ Pro Cigar. So I understand why they didn't. But yeah, I think this one's out already. June, it's a different cigar is what I'll say, but I'm not sure if it's still going to satisfy – it still very much will smoke like an AJ too, but it is different.
Yeah, I mean, contrary to popular belief, I don't just smoke a bunch of Connecticut shades and like Cuban cigars. I actually do like a wide range of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I love to give that a shot. I will. But so far, it's been many years of disappointment.
I just want to back up what June is saying. I'm actually a huge fan of AJ's stuff that he's done in the past. And I've just gotten the impression over the last 14, 16 months that a lot of the AJ blends that I'm smoking, it just seems like AJ is overextended. And I say that because when I hear, you know, this such and such blended or comes out of AJ's factory, I go, oh, I don't know. And what is that, the last 6, 8, 9 AJ related blends that we smoked? And it's, they've all smoked the same. They start out, first third is promising, second third, last third, it's just boring. I mean,
what about Ramon Ayones? You put Ramon Ayones in that category. To me, that cigar was a home run.
No.
No.
Wow.
I didn't review it, but I smoked it.
Disappointed. But I will say,
you guys are tough.
To his credit, construction is absolutely impeccable. Construction is phenomenal. Every single cigar comes out, burns amazing, draws amazing. If you have a draw or a burn problem, it is an unusual one. It is not normal. Or you're just storing your cigars improperly. But, you know, sadly, I don't rate cigars based on ash performance. I only rate them based on how they taste. So, you know. I know it's weird. I know it's weird.
There's a place for that, John, I think, in the market, you know.
I know I'm an outlier. I'm a weird one in the market. I smoke cigars because they taste good. It's weird. I know.
Yeah. We're Canadian.
All right. I'm going to go up to Bear. I'll go up from the next list. Bear, you had some very interesting...
Actually, can you skip me for just a moment?
We'll go to John.
Thanks.
Go, John. John, you're going to...
Yeah, I'm going to throw a weird one out there. So I saw the announcement that Lars Tietens is coming back in the Alec Bradley booth. I got to say, I'm kind of... I mean, it's like a weird... You know, I don't even know how to put it into words because it's... It could be phenomenal. It could be amazing. It could be incredible. But it could be a disaster because you're bringing back a brand that maybe a lot of consumers and a lot of retailers maybe don't even know. That's an old brand, but they could come back. They could be huge. And that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited for the IPCPR is like the spectacle of it. And so to me, when I saw that news, I was like, boy, that really kind of changes things up for me for, you know, what I'm looking for. Black Label. I am an admitted Black Label fanboy. I love what James has been doing, just continuous growth. They opened up the new factory a couple of years ago. You know, they've been putting out consistent brands. They've got their brands broken into Black Label and Black Works with their core brands and then their experimental brands. And now you've got Dissident, kind of, which we'll talk about next, kind of rolled into that with Dissident coming out of Black Label. And the one that I'm going to kind of end with, which may spark some discussion, is General Cigar Company.
I had them on my list too.
Did you?
Yep.
What do they announce for upcoming release so far?
No, it's not about that. It's that they've laid off so many key personnel, you know, some of which, in my opinion, are kind of key to their brand doing well at the IPCPR trade show from my perspective, as a media member. I mean, assuming my credentials are still valid, we'll see when I get there. I'm not sure, you know, last year we had a lot of conversation about whether General had a good show or not. I'm really not sure what kind of show General. So for me, that's more of a, I'm going to sort of check it out to see, you know, can General kind of pull it all together after letting a bunch of staff go? Can they pull it together and have a good show, or is it going to be a disaster?
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. I mean, it's kind of up to like the Villiger model and seeing what reaction that has. But yeah, I don't know if it's got the same pull as, you know, when those people got dropped out, if they had the same, you know, draw for the retailers.
No, that's a good point. I had General on there too. I thought they had a lot of like redundant stuff there last year. Too many Maduros. You know, you come out with a punch, you know, you come out with that punch Maduro from AJ, then you're coming out with a Hoyo La Amistad black, that Partagas legend there. CEO of Nicaragua missed the boat big time. Yeah, I mean, the Cohiba's going to be the one. Cohiba's sponsoring.
Dude, they missed the fucking shore. I mean, shit. Yeah.
Well, they're bringing Cohiba in. That's what's now confirmed. They're the sponsor of the opening gala now.
Cohiba, so Connecticut?
I think they'll do something new. I mean, if that's been the motto.
Yeah, I heard that one's pretty good. Sorry.
Yeah, man. Look.
All right. Seth, what about you? And what company are you watching this year? I kind of skipped you, I think, in the last category. I apologize.
No, it's actually, it's, you know, I kind of looked over the notes. You know, Bear touches on one, and I know Bear's going to talk. La Aurora is one that I'm really interested in. I've always been really shitty to Miami cigars because I just think La Aurora's never really shined. You know, I've always said I think La Aurora needs to go out on their own.
Right.
You know, another one actually that Bear mentioned, Camacho. That's really interesting.
I don't get. So, what is interest? Why are you watching Camacho this year? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, it just seems to be. I mean, to be honest with you, it's more of like a Camacho and Avo. It's just where are they going? You know, it's kind of, you know, they've kind of. It's almost like they've been kind of forgotten. There's been a lot of focus on a lot of the new Davidoff stuff, but they've just kind of let those brands kind of be. And there's some good stuff, you know. I mean, you and I've talked about Avo Maduro. I mean, there's a lot of brands that, like, these are good brands you could bring back, and, you know, you really should think about bringing back. Now's a good time to do it.
Yeah. I mean, we get asked, the one that's really popular in charts, Avo LE10. People want that one back. I'll run it at. It was very popular in a lot of the stores I was in Charlotte. People were going nuts on that cigar. I loved it too. I was in that category.
I mean, go ahead. No, you go ahead, man.
No, it made me think. I feel like we had so many good Puritos last year at the show. I want some company to just release like a bundle of Puritos, like Aganorsa Leaf. Can you please release like Corojo Leaf Puritos for us to smoke?
You know, I've seen some companies do it. Like, I know Alec Bradley did it with the Fine and Rare one year. They included the Puritos.
I'm talking about like a give me a shitty, you know, grocery bag and then put a bunch of Puritos in there, bundle it up.
You can go to Ezra Zion. What is those naked? What is Ezra Zion? without the wrapper.
Oh man!
But then at the show, so okay.
That's gonna be it. We should put that on a highlight reel. We should do a highlight reel.
Ezra Zion. I got blending sessions for you. I mean, but they're not Purito.
I thought Jeff Borshowitz, the FSG Puritos he rolled, those were
legit, man. Those were awesome.
He doesn't have enough tobacco though. That's the problem. I mean, everyone wants his tobacco now.
Yeah. Oh no, he had a good farm year, he was telling Bear and I so on the show.
Bear, he doesn't have enough tobacco. There you go. Pareto Project, FSG Pareto Project. Lock it down. 2019 IPC.
I can also leave. Thank you, Terrence. Thank you, Jeff.
There you go. For a request from June. So maybe they'll hear. Bear, what about you? Some of the companies. You had a couple we already talked about, but go ahead and rattle yours off.
Yeah, so La Aurora was a big one that I was really interested in. Felt like they, you know, a company that's so good with anniversaries and them passing over the 115th was just kind of weird. And they released it this year, a year later, but.
Well, they're late with it, but they still have the regular production one coming out. They did the limiteds and they're going to be different blends. So that's something to look forward to that.
But to kind of what Aaron was saying about La Palina earlier, I'm really fascinated to see what's going to go on with Quesada this year.
I have them on my list too. I have some info I'll kind of talk about with that.
Man, because that was a little daunting last year. Walking past their booth,
it was empty. It was a lot sparse.
I guess Coop can tell you what the kind of furniture was in it, but. But I, you know, it's a brand that I have tremendous amount of respect for. And I think, you know, I won't say this is all like the Terrence Riley factory, but it really is. I mean, it is no coincidence, but it really is interesting. The stark contrast that Aganorsa Leaf and Quesada has done in the last, you know, 18 months. They're on completely opposite paths. And I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, Terrence Riley's in the middle of all that, but at the same time, Quesada's was around long before Terrence Riley, and you know, I'm just really interested to see what's going on with that brand, because I have, like I said, I've had a lot of respect for it. We mentioned the 40th anniversary a few minutes ago,
yeah,
and I love that cigar. I think that cigar is incredible.
They have the 1974, which is the 45th. It's going to be called the Quesada 1974, coming out.
Also interested to see, we've talked about the Davidoff 50th anniversary, Camacho, Avo had 30 years, and then I want to see if they're going to do anything with Camacho this year.
Yeah, but Seth was mentioning that too. He had them on there.
You're like, you and Seth are like, same page.
Yeah, yeah, that's unusual.
If you look at the brands and just kind of where they've been, and especially in the giant scheme of things, it's a lot of these, you know, brands underneath an umbrella that have just kind of not done anything.
Yeah, and the last two, and I'm interested in for opposite reasons. I'd like to see what after the incredible year that they had, from a critical standpoint, Foundation, Nick Melillo was just fire. How's he going to follow that up? We talked about Hoy de Nicaragua following up their sensational year. How does Nick follow up the 2018 he had? So I'm interested to see what he does. And then we talked a few minutes ago about a company. Coop mentioned, what about, if a small company doesn't do any new releases? Matilda hasn't done that in a couple of years now. The Serena, which was actually a limited release before its actual national release at the show a couple of years ago, but since then they haven't done anything. And it's a brand that I have a lot of love for. I love every single one of their cigars. I love Enrique, those guys. And congratulations to him, the birth of his son. That's fantastic news. But I really want to see what Matilda has in store for 2019.
I hope he brings – he has that Oscuro box press that he was using as an event cigar. I hope he actually releases that full-born because it's pretty good.
He's talking about there was a Churchill that he did as a kind of a
– For the Serena.
Yeah, a drunken promise for a buddy for a wedding, and they produced it for a wedding or something, and there's possibility that they could release that nationally as well. But again, that's just line extensions. I'm wondering just if we're going to see something, a new blend come out of Matilda this year, or if it's another year with no new blends.
Yeah, fair point. I mean, I think he's a lot, if you want to talk about a company, I think that needs something, a new SKU or a new line, it's Matilda.
Yeah.
He needs it right now. He really does. It's been a while. It's 2016. That's 3 years. That's a long time. So as for a small company, that's someone he really does need to bring something to the show. That's a very good observation right there.
Well, I think their cigars are still performing at a high level. I haven't noticed any change. I still enjoy all four. And all four regularly. I still think they've smoked consistent over the years, which is a terrific accomplishment. That's great. But yeah, I think he's in dire need of something. I don't mean to play to that exhausted topic that we say all the time, the what's new, but like you said, Coop, 3 years, long time.
It's a long time.
Especially since the last good one was like so under the radar in the Serena. That's my favorite cigar that they make. And it was such like a kind of a under the radar release. So
I agree.
I don't think it hit anyone's
It hit yours, Aaron, didn't it?
Aside from Aaron.
Number two cigar of the year for me, man.
Yeah. If I think back towards Half Wheel's consensus.
Yeah. It didn't get enough
They kind of what they did with that was it was weird. They came out with that after the trade show. They announced it after the trade show. I think they wanted to get it in before the deeming regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We went through most of mine, so I'll just kind of – I'll read what the company is, but I have one more I want to add to it. So we mentioned Black Label. We mentioned Casada. We mentioned General. We mentioned Davidoff. The last one I have is JSK. This is going to be a very interesting show, I think, for Riste. Excuse me, because Nugs is going to be controversial for him. And I want to see what kind of reaction he's going to get from some people, retailers in the industry on Nugs this year. I think it's just going to be something to watch. And he's done it, he's got the Tyrannical Bucks coming out right now. The Toothpicks 2.0 did well for him right now. So I think and I know he's talking about bringing back the Connecticut, the Zlatan Sanz and the Cernan Knox. So I don't know if they're going to be back this year at the show, but I think it's a big show for Riste right now. And he's going in there with
Coop,
that Nugs.
Coop. Yeah. I have to take a drink every time you say it right now. So cut it out.
All right. Yeah, yeah. All right. Let's say
Coop's gonna say in like 2 seconds.
Right now, no, but no. Nuggs is. I think Nuggs is gonna bring a lot of attention on him right now, positively and negatively. He's gonna have attention. People are gonna be paying attention. I think he's gonna have a lot of activity at the booth this year.
Has everyone smoked the Nuggs?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was underwhelmed from a cigar standpoint.
Seth,
you say done better. No?
Yeah, I did. I have.
John.
No, dude, you want to ship that up to Canada and get somebody arrested? Come on now. It's crazy talk. I mean, you can't even ship regular cigars up here. They think you're going to throw you in jail.
I was just taking a poll here.
Don't want to risk that, man.
Have you smoked it?
So here's my controversial take.
Yes or no, man? Yes, you smoked
it. No, I have not, and I won't smoke it.
So why won't you smoke it?
You just get the CBD oil stuff.
It's
understandable. There's, you don't need to explain.
You know what I'm saying? That's a fair comment. It's fair.
Yeah, you know, I was just curious. I didn't know if it was from that perspective or if it was just because, you know, it was like out of protest because there was CBD in there. There's no judgment on that.
No, not out of protest. It's a personal decision. With all due respect to Riste. And what he's doing as a brand owner, manufacturer. It's just a personal decision.
Yeah, man. I'm a hippie, man. I respect that.
I just want to throw it out there that I'm like Mikey from the old cereal commercials. I'll smoke anything. I don't care. Yeah. If it is available, absolutely I'll smoke it, but I'm not putting anyone at risk, man. You don't mess with border services. Do not mess with border services.
I've seen the show up there when I go visit my in-laws in Vancouver, man. You all take it seriously.
Yeah, I take it seriously. But border services, man, they will lock you down. You'll be on a list. You won't be able to go anywhere ever again.
They'll send out Justin Trudeau out to get you.
With Donald Trump.
With DJ.
DJ. They'll DP you.
I thought it was an average cigar. I thought Riste's done better blends. That's just my opinion. It wasn't a bad cigar, but I kind of – from why I smoked it was as a reviewer. I think people wanted – if people come to my site, I think they wanted some opinion on that cigar one way or another. I'm not judging if it has a place in the market or not. That's not – it's out on the market already. But I thought it was – like I said, what Riste's done with his Connecticut's, the Red Knights, the Maduro. I mean, he's done some really good stuff. I didn't think this was as good a cigar as those other ones. Wasn't a bad cigar, but wasn't as good.
If you really want some CBD oil, I mean, like, it's if you want CBD oil,
right?
You're not going to get it with the cigar, in my opinion. Like, you're not. You're better off just buying CBD oil and taking the CBD oil. Coop, the way how slow you're getting up, it looks like you need some CBD oil for those joints.
Exactly. You know, when you're 51, you're gonna move a lot slower.
So I mean, it's just it was not that great of a, it just wasn't that great of a cigar.
I'm curious to see what he does. He's got a Maduro coming out with that, so I'm curious to see. Maybe that's gonna be better. I'm not writing off the line. I'm not writing off the concept. I just, that blend didn't do it for me.
Coop, I just want to throw it out there that I think you've broken Facebook. You're over 400 comments for the show page now, which is ridiculous, and Facebook's starting to break.
Well, how's it breaking?
Facebook's starting to break.
Because the
Zuckerberg is shutting servers down, I think.
Yeah, if you start clicking on comment threads and stuff, Facebook starts to wig out, so that's a good sign.
That's a good sign. We prime time has arrived, baby.
Good thing is we still got two more hours to go, so.
Okay. All right. All right, so let's kind of move to the next topic. Now we're talking about cigars, okay? Aaron, I'll let you go first. Again, you had a bunch of them, so we may hit a bunch.
I had a bunch, so we can alternate if you want. But the first one is one that we had a little bit of a throwdown earlier on today.
Yeah. I think it's worth discussing.
But Dissident, I'm very interested in smoking the Dissident stuff. And
where's the new shit at? Where's the new shit at?
Exactly. My take is that it's not supposed to be like the old Dissident stuff. It's going to be Ben's and James's take on what they want to build the brand around. So I'm interested in seeing what this new iteration is. I'm not going to compare it to what the previous blends were because that's not, I don't think, what it's supposed to be. But I'm very interested to see what they do. I want to see if it's traditional Black Label style cigars or if it's going to be something different, but it has my interest.
That's the big question. That is the million dollar. That's my question. Is it going to be something different?
It's going to be
I think it's going to be radically different. I smoked all the distant stuff. And I mean, just the fact that it's coming out of Black Label, I think, or Abella Negra, means the blends are going to be radically different, Probably, you know, two steps more fuller bodied than the original stuff was, which, you know, whatever. But I mean, I think the question was, you know, can you come out with, because the question is always like, when you buy a brand, right, are you going to focus on the marketing of the brand? Or are you going to focus on the blends of the brand? And I'm okay with them updating or changing or, you know, radically altering what the blends were, but he is building on what the brand was, right? Like, and I think Ben and Ben's personality really fits with the Dissident original sort of punk bad boy, true bad boy philosophy, strategy, marketing was. And I think that fits. I think it fits really well.
I think he's reinterpreting it to another, I don't think he's going punk rock kind of, but I think he's going kind of that rebellious type of thing with the theme of the cigars. Yeah.
Why wouldn't Ben want to put his own signature on it, though? I mean, he exactly. bought it, you know, if he didn't, if
I, what I'm I, curious,
considering how unique of a personality he is and everything, I, if he bought it just to bring back the same old, I just don't see that.
I thought they were average cigars. That was the thing. The original Dissidents, they weren't bad cigars. Home was actually pretty good. That Honduran, but that never got released. That Honduran Puro they did was actually the best one they did. But I kind of just thought in general that they were average cigars, and I'm seeing a lot of excitement. I mean, do people think they were more than average cigars? So that was my question. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I did not think they were more than average cigars. I agree with you. I think the Home was probably one of the better ones. The Sopoc Lancero was actually really, really good. But, you know, if I were to put it on the DP scale, I think people would just be confused and they'd be like, I don't understand how numbers work. What? So, you know, I'll just say, look, they're pretty average. But I love the philosophy. I love the approach. I love that, you know, going to their booth was a fresh take. We talked about crystal meth, which, you know, when do you talk about crystal meth with a manufacturer at the cigar man? Like, that never happens.
This would be clear as brand owner is the correct term.
Brand owner?
Yeah.
Brand owners.
But I don't think Benjamin's the kind of guy to kind of duplicate what Gordon and Ryan were doing. Who are they?
No, I think Bear's right. I think, you know, it's an iterative thing. He's taking what they came up with, he's building it, he's putting his own fingerprints on it, and that's what you have to do. If you want to be a brand owner, you have to put your own fingerprints. But he's still being true to what the core of that brand was, which was a rebellious, anti sort of industry type brand. And I think so far so good from my perspective anyways.
I kind of would have really liked to have seen, maybe he just doesn't have the tobacco to do it. But to bring Home back, if there was any way they could have brought it back as a Honduran Puro, I would have done it.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
That would have been, because then that's something, one, it's showing, but this could be a tobacco issue, so I got to be fair with that.
But did you see the blend composition? He's very, in the press release, Ben's really proud of the fact that the filler is 100% from Esteli.
Yep.
And so that's his interpretation of Home.
Why not just call it something else? I mean, I'm sure he could come out with something.
Well, because he bought the brand, Scoop. Why wouldn't he want to use it?
Well, maybe hold that one back until maybe you can get some of the Honduran tobacco. Because
Ben's interpretation of Home, though.
That's fair. I mean, I could see that. I think that was what made that. Okay. The problem is Home never made it to market either. So, in fairness, that never was released. So, I'm probably nitpicking there. But, yeah, I think the big question is, I think what's going to be the success is he's going to have to differentiate that from Black Label and from Black Works.
That's going to be tough to do.
I know you guys said that they were average, but I really love the Block. I really enjoyed that cigar. And so I'm going to be really disappointed if it's not good.
I think the Block was made in Nicaragua. And I want to say it was made at Pensa, and I could be wrong. The original one I'm talking about.
Man, I'd have to go back like two review books to find my notes on that, but I'm pretty sure I ended up reviewing every single thing that Dissident put out back in the day.
Yeah, what's their company? Who is it? Didn't Newman's make one of them or something?
That was a block. That was a block. Yeah.
Block, I think it was,
That one, it was a decent cigar. But was it like something? I didn't see these cigars landing on consensus lists either. So, I mean,
Homemade the consensus.
Homemade? It never got released.
I think that's right.
Home never got released. Maybe it did. I don't know. But Home never got released. I know that. That was the big thing. They shut the company down before it made the market.
And I agree with you, Coop. I think, you know, anytime I see like Honduran Puro or the majority Honduran tobacco, I just kind of roll my eyes because my expectation is, oh, this is not going to be a good cigar. It was nice. Honduras puts out a lot of great tobacco. It's just a lot of the blends that come out with mostly Honduran tobacco is just not
good. Seth, you made a comment to me. Well, you made it the other day.
No, I've made this for multiple years.
Yeah.
Honduran Puros are either complete shit or they're amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
That's how it goes. I mean, there's no middle ground.
True, man.
Yep.
It's one of the other.
I mean, when they're amazing, though, I think they're really hard to beat.
Yep. Okay, Aaron, you got
Crown Heads La Coalición.
Aha.
When that pops up, the first thing that comes to my mind is All Out Kings. So you have this like long teased thing between Drew Estate and Caldwell, and it took forever. Were you there when it was announced, John, or it was just?
Dude, I was on site with like 50 pounds of video gear and laptops and cameras and webcams,
yeah,
microphones.
That was a bad move.
Gimbals.
So I'm interested to see how this goes. I mean, you know, you're working with Willie, who's Willie's doing the blending, but he's getting some input, you know, from Huber, I'm assuming, in regards to what that's going to look like. But I'm thinking that Willie probably has had to do less, worrying about what the other side was going to say. So I'll be interested to see what this looks like as a Crown Heads release. So that's one that's got another one that's got my attention.
I liked Buckeye Land. I thought that was a good start they had. Mm-hmm. You know, working with Willie. So I think they had if they were throwing a test balloon out there with that to see, do a limited Ohio release, I thought they did very good with that cigar.
Yeah. You want me to hit the next one?
Yep.
Sober Mesa Brulee. I know you've got a problem with the name, Coop, but.
I don't have a problem with the name. I'm just saying, I think if anyone else came up with that name, they'd be getting killed over it.
So far, I think that Sober Mesa has been the best release that Steve has put out. So I'm interested to see what this Brulee take is on Sober Mesa. I'm just curious to see what that looks like. I'm hoping that there's, you know, some of that Sober Mesa profile in there, and this is a bit of a tweak to it. But hearing from Steve, it seemed like it's more of a complete separation, but I'm just curious why you're using that name. So that's kind of intriguing.
Why he's using it.
It kind of intrigues me to try this again, but you know.
It is your grandfather's Connecticut.
It's going to sell out at the trade show. It's going to sell
whatever Steve puts out.
Yeah.
I'm very interested.
Skip Martin in the comments said that Brulee is really good. So that's, take that as it is. Yep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's probably.
Skip likes it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I would definitely, for sure.
Skip thinks the Nakatamale is superior to the Exclusivo, though, and that's not correct.
Okay.
Shots fired.
State of fact, I guess.
Yep.
I know somebody's not getting the black card on Friday.
Yep. I got mine, so I don't know that, I should say.
Oh, you got it, Coop.
Wait, right, next one is two releases from Illusione, the ECCJ 25 and the Epernay 10th anniversary.
I spoke to ECCJ already.
You guys and your Illusiones. Can you throw some my way? I'd like to smoke one every 10 releases or whatever.
We'll go to the booth and we will see if we can't snake some out of there. But, Illusione is a brand that I'm a big fan of. Some of the recent releases other than the Turin, I haven't been that great on the Hout 10. These two are ones I'm really looking forward to.
Something June and I will give number one again, probably.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
And then, I'm not going to take the next one off of your list, Coop. So you can go ahead and go to the next one.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at the. Sorry, I was looking at your line already.
Yeah, I was just saying. I don't have that.
What I want to do, the American, I think probably a lot of people have that on our list. It's just, you know, the whole concept is fantastic.
I spoke to experimentals, and experimentals are supposedly pretty close to that. I think it's going to be a very nice cigar for them.
Right, and then the last one I have on my list is the Roma Craft Baca.
I think that deserves to be on there, yeah.
We get to see some Cameroon.
Real Cameroon.
Cameroon
not,
love.
Not bullshit, made not up, fake Cameroon. Cameroon.
Yeah, so I'm
going to try
that one as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be – I think that's a candidate for one of my hottest cigars at the trade show right now. It's going to be this year.
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, it's been a while since we've had, like, you know, a real Cameroon come out, and now you're having this real Cameroon come out from Skip, which is like, if you think of old school Cameroons, it's just, it doesn't.
I mean, I think old school Cameroons, I think Tarano, I think Tarano 1916 is the one.
Oh, there's some Fuentes, La Aurora, and this isn't anything against Skip. So it's I'm very interested in it because I mean, I love Cameroons. But
did Esteban blend the Tarano 1916 Skip is my question.
Did Esteban blend the Tarano?
I thought I heard that somewhere.
The Tarano's, that was back when the 1916 Cameroon was back when that was being made by Perdomo, I believe.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that. But yeah, I'm really curious about that. I think that's going to be a very big hit at the show this year. I mean, it's Cameroon, real Cameroon. It's Roma Craft, yeah.
I want to hear some stories about, some real bullshit industry stories about how the tobacco was sourced. You know, like there was a Jeep and they were getting shot at, and you know they had this.
We heard that from General. Were you on the trip?
No, I wasn't on that trip. I missed that trip.
Yeah, they talked about that.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah, but Ernest.
They had to drop a zip line from a C-130, and so you hit the tobacco strap to them, and they're flying on the zip line. Yeah, I want to hear all that, man. I love that.
You never know.
They probably like, you know, hired a bunch of merchant Zulu tribesmen to, like, you know, get their backs, you know, as they were pulling the palones of Cameroon and absolutely
lions, man.
So John, why don't you go next here? Because you have some of these, there's some overlay here, so I think you should go next.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, obviously, Loomis already took my American, and that's fine. I think the American's been on my list for a while because I think that was supposed to come out. I thought it was supposed to come out last year.
They were talking about that cigar at the 2016 show.
Yeah. So I mean that actually has been on my list for a while. So that's I mean, I've got it kind of mid on my list, but that's really at the top of my list.
Yep.
Sober Mesa Brulee.
Yep.
And I agree with all the comments previously. I think Sober Mesa is one of the best releases that Steve's managed to do. It's got kind of all the fingerprints of Steve's blending capabilities. So the Brulee has me really intrigued, and so that's top of my list. Number two, no guess, no surprise, Roma Baca. I love Cameroon, true, real Cameroon done right, and it's been a long time since I've experienced good Cameroon. We've already talked about the Dissident. One of the ones we haven't talked about tonight is Crux Limitada, the new red line.
That's already hit the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. So.
Yeah, but they have the other one, the Gunner's coming out.
The Gunner's, okay.
Yeah.
That's one of those brands I think you and I align really closely on, Coop, is that for me, Crux can kind of put out anything, and I'm eager to smoke it, and I'm probably going to like it because...
You know, I always get asked, John, would I smoke a lot of a brand regularly? And you know what? I smoke a lot of Crux stuff. They have really good stuff.
They have really good stuff.
They really do. It's like, and I don't have this cigar rotation, but when I'm not reviewing a cigar, there's a lot of times I have a Crux cigar in my hand.
Makes sense. And then the last one on the list, which gives me a few chuckles, gives me a few memories.
Yeah.
Don Ronaldo, Corona's Deluxe is back. I'm very excited for that, obviously.
Yeah, I have one of them already. I haven't smoked it yet, the new one.
Oh, didn't he just announce the, what's the other one that's back?
Oh, the...
La Colmena
Unico. The torpedo in the canisters.
Yeah.
Which I love that size. I thought that was the best size. It was that short Bellicoso he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got?
Yeah. Seth, what about you?
Yeah, the Baca's one I'm interested in. I'm interested in the new Aganorsa that I know you smoked, Coop.
Yep.
The Illusiones are definitely ones I'm interested in. Did you say the EPC 10th? Did you go yet?
I didn't go, but you could say it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one I'm interested in. I'm usually always interested in what Ernie's going to have to do.
Bear, I got to, not to jump ahead of your list, you didn't have EPC on that list. I was shocked.
Sorry?
The EPC 10th anniversary.
I mean, I'm excited about it, but I mean, you know, I didn't want to, you know, go crazy on my list.
Okay. Okay. I'm kidding you.
Alma. Yeah. Alma Fuego,
I'm still
man.
Trying to get over my heartbreak that I couldn't smoke an Encore in Cigar City. Yeah. Okay. I'm still getting over that disappointment.
Thanks, Jose. Yeah. For but no, so you mentioned, Seth, you just mentioned one, another one, kind of Alma de Fuego. That was on my list as well.
Yeah. It's hard not to pay attention to if Placencia is going to put something out. I mean,
Javi's telling me that's stronger than the Alma Forte.
See, I don't think the Alma Forte is that strong.
I didn't think it was either. He said this one's much stronger.
So it's much just stronger? It's
okay.
That's what he told me.
Interesting.
I was with Javi yesterday and today. Javi Carranza from Placencia.
I'm just saying, start smoking Lajero for breakfast, man.
And he's telling me the size. It, he's telling me that Panatella size is the one. He says, you know, that Panatella, he says, is the special size. So we'll see. You know, everyone likes the Lancero, though, too. But
so yeah.
Okay, Bear. What about you?
Well, I'm super excited about the American and the Crown Heads La Colusión as yep. well. John, I'm going to try to get you a red line. In case they don't have them at the show, because we had some at our summer store. That is a very good cigar. I think you're going to be pleased with it.
I mean, part of the downside of living in Canada is, you know, stuff like that is impossible to get. If I lived in the States, I would probably have a walk-in that took up 50% of my living area, because I'd just be buying stuff like that nonstop. Yep. No question.
It's a good size. I liked it. I did get a chance to smoke it too.
But I'm really stoked about the American, because I've loved every cigar that I've had that has FSG. So I'm really stoked to try something that actually is an FSG wrapper. I think that's going to be awesome. You guys are totally going to laugh at me. And if you guys have seen the notes already, you probably already have laughed at me. I am super excited about the return of the Don Lino Africa. I love that cigar, man.
It's completely different, though.
I still could be excited about it, man. But okay. I loved that cigar back in the day, man. And it was so sad to see it, like, really go. And I'm excited to see what their new take on it as well. I'm kind of a closet La Aurora hit fan, and that's why I was kind of disappointed with last year's, not having the 115th and stuff. But I'm excited about that cigar too. I want to try the 115. But I'm really stoked about Don Lino Africa.
Nice. June, how about you?
June's out.
Oh, June's out. I didn't realize that. When did he go?
He gone.
At 9.
Okay.
Or 12.
Okay. Okay. So, okay, June's out.
Didn't even see him go. Just boom.
I have the little. I have the little panels closed. That's why. Mine were all mentioned. So the EPC 10th anniversary, Placencia Alma de Fuego. I got to definitely put Baca in there as well. I think we covered all the cigars there. Why don't we kind of go into our last round of commercial breaks, and then we'll get into our final couple segments. With Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust, Master Blender Steve Saka set out to create Personal Compromiso, cigars without compromise. This represents an expression of Saka's closely held values and attests in three simple words, everything Saka wants to accomplish. Cigars are more than a passion of Saka, they are a way of life. Ask for the brands of Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust. Sobre Mesa, Mi Querida, Umbagog, Maestro de Saca, Todos los Días, and Sin Compromiso at your local tobacconist. And by M. Bombay Cigars. M. Bombay Cigars represent the most admired cigar culture of Cuba. They represent the best of the best quality tobacco to use in the aging process. M. Bombay Cigars are then rolled in Costa Rica by some of the world's most experienced cigar rollers, giving it a unique smoking experience. The band portrays the detailed and artistic nature of our small industry. Try the M. Bombay, Gaia, and M. Cuba lines. M. Bombay Cigars, where the cigar is a way of life. And by Caldwell Cigar Company. Caldwell Cigar Company launched in 2014 with a very simple mantra: create, innovate, ambition. Since day one, they have done things differently. They've challenged the industry norms to produce sticks that time and time again deliver on their promise. Look for Caldwell products or any number of their collaborations at your local retailer today. And by Casa Cuevas Cigars. The Cuevas family has four generations of experience in cigar making. For many years, they have manufactured cigars for industry leaders out of the Las Lavas factory in the Dominican Republic. Now, the Cuevas family is bringing their very own brand to market, each containing Casa Cuevas cigars. Try the Casa Cuevas Connecticut, Habano, and Casa Cuevas Maduro lines, and the recently released Prensado and limited edition Flaco line extensions. If they don't carry it, be sure to ask your local retailer for Casa Cuevas cigars. Casa Cuevas cigars, from our casa to your casa. And a Cattle Baron note, there'll be another Cooper possibly barbecue or slash grilling session on Thursday with mushrooms and a Cattle Baron cigar. Love those grilled mushrooms, by the way. I've been really into mushrooms lately.
Dude, you said Casa and Cuevas so much. That was a lot of Casa Cuevas.
Thank you.
That was,
you know,
pretty.
Right now, yeah.
Running through that.
Right now, I had to read the sponsors. All right. Yeah, so just one note. I'll mention something. We mentioned M. Bombay. If you saw Mel, he did post pictures of a cigar called M. Esteli, which is going to be probably something. I don't know for sure if it's coming out the trade show. I did smoke it. It's a very different cigar from them, I'll just say. So he'll have the details coming out on that, but I did smoke that one down in Costa Rica. So nice. Stay tuned on that.
Costa Rica.
Excuse me. So media at IPCPR is always a fun one. So a few questions on media here. Here's the first question I'll ask. You know, for years, online media was a target at IPCPR. You know, we were the bad boys, so to speak. Is that target, you think, finally off our back now?
No, I'm coming back for year two, baby.
Well, the guys have been... Baron, Seth, you guys were there for the first year. I've been going for 10 years, and I just remember the days of, we were just, like, blamed for everything. We were blamed for everything going on there. What was wrong with the show? The retailers blamed us for everything.
Last year was your first year, Seth?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Everybody. Coop, remember that year where, who is it? Paul Joyle, that I pretended I was on the floor with him. I'm like, Paul, yeah. I'm looking at you right now. And he's like looking for me. He's like, I'm waving at you, Paul. So, no, I mean, you know.
Promotion and cigars, yeah.
I didn't get any bad vibes. I mean, Aaron, I remember you and June were like, Seth, dude, you're just walking in booths like a fucking boss, bossing people around and shit. So, but they're all cool with it and they're nice about it. So, yeah. I mean, they're good people.
Yeah. I mean, anytime, like I said, I've had an issue, for the most part, I've always communicated it to IPCPR and they've always been responsive. And there's been isolated instances, I know, at the show over the years with various media groups, but in general, I've always, if there's a problem or if there's something, I've always gotten a response from them, and I always give them credit for that. I never felt unwelcome at the show. Sometimes I think they need to invest more in media. I think that's a fair thing to make, you know. So, but in general, I never felt unwelcome. I mean, it was just we got blamed for stuff. We always heard the blame. Like, they're there for free samples and, you know, stuff like that, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. People want to throw the blame at something.
In terms of samples, there's rules still there that we can't ask for samples. And every year I say they need to get rid of that rule. I wonder if they're going to get rid of the rule if they ever let consumers in. So if they let consumers in, that rule should go away.
I mean, maybe we should just take the retailer route where you just walk up to a box and just grab a handful of cigars. Is that maybe the way to handle it?
Is that a retailer way of doing it, or is that the Cigar Dave way of doing it?
No, that's a retailer way of doing
it. No, retailers are notorious. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, yeah, we've seen it over the years.
We'll get to that in the story segment if we have time for two stories. I've got a pretty good
story. But I think, I mean, let me ask a question. At this point, does anyone care? I mean, from what I've seen now in the recent years, no one cares if you ask for a sample anymore, especially if they know you now.
And most of the time, they're going to hand you the sample anyway. I mean, it's very rarely would you ever run into it.
I think that rule is kind of – I think the rule is just – I mean, even when we talked to Scott Pierce on it, and it's kind of – he even kind of commented it was kind of antiquated.
Yeah. And I think that was a brilliant point just made a moment ago. Like, I didn't walk into a booth last year where I wasn't handed a cigar. It did not happen.
Yeah. No, it didn't. I mean, and you know, and I know too that sometimes there's limited supply. So I never want to put a manufacturer. My reason would be, I never want to put a manufacturer on the spot with it. So there's always, you know, but in general, I think the rule is just silly. But at the same time, I understand that, you know, they sometimes don't take a lot of these cigars, and you know, so I kind of get that part too.
Well, it's one of these things. Listen, if you ask for it and they say no, it's like, okay, that's fine. You just don't get upset by it. I mean,
right, you can always just say no. I mean, that's what I never. Yeah. If you're a manufacturer, why do we need the kindergarten copy? Why do we need? That's how I always say. Just say no. They don't want to say no is the problem. So that was always been the problem over the years.
Yeah, I think you could. It certainly this year, maybe even last year, and possibly even the year before. I think you could say the average level of cigar media journalists has reached a point where the professionalism is certainly enough that, you know, it's understandable in 2012, 2011, but in 2019, it's not necessary anymore. Yeah,
there was, you know, I think what happened when the media guys first went, and I'm going back to 2010. I mean, this is my 10th episode, but back in 2010. I think when it was a new concept of media, it was people never had really gone to IPCPR. And I think, again, it's not a HERF. And I think that's what one of the things some of the really kind of new guys were, you know. And I think that's the part they had to understand. And they needed some education what the show's about. But after you go through one or two of them, I think you understand the vibe of the show at that point.
Well, also, in my defense, how many times did I tell Rick Rodriguez, no, take the CEO, Nick Rivard was back? So telling him to take them back. Yeah. So,
damn, man. Hold my coffee.
let me ask the developing palates guys a question. What determines whether you go to a booth or not?
If they're there or not.
The boss, man.
Aaron just fucking bossing me around.
If they're there, we'll visit them.
Yep. Do you have any like priority orders? Like, because I have to look at three categories. I have to look at sponsors. I certainly have to go see them. Strategic partners, not necessarily sponsors, but people I have really good relationships with over the years. And, you know, I certainly have to go see them. And then there's white space, like companies I'm trying to like break through, you know, and make some ground with, you know. So it's kind of the balancing act. And then those white space ones are tricky because some of the ones that, you know, you want to establish the relationship with, and other ones, you know, when they don't take the time to send you a press release, they got to go to the bottom of the queue sometimes because it's just, I can't spend time on it. If a small brand's not going to take the time to do that, it's just reality. You can't communicate with me once a year at the trade show. If the trade show can't be the only time you communicate with me, and you can't get butthurt if I don't visit your booth, but if that's the only time you're going to make an effort to communicate.
Yeah, I take a different perspective on it. I mean, my preference would be to just start in the back corner and work my way, you know, booth to booth.
You guys have always done that. Yeah, that's always been your way, I've noticed.
I prefer not to do appointments just because, you know, it kind of breaks up our day and things like that. But it's just the reality of the way it is some of these booths are too busy and they need to schedule the time. Yeah. So we have to go that route. But I prefer just to, you know, go booth to booth through everybody and see them. I mean, I don't kind of market as preference for sponsors versus non-sponsors or people who don't communicate during the year. It's like, I would just like to visit everybody if possible to just, you know, have some sort of a discussion, even if it's just a 2-minute, hi, how you doing kind of thing, just to, you know, have a little bit of FaceTime since we have everybody in the same place at the same time. So that's the strategy I like to try, but, you know, it's tough with the number of booths and, you know, you get to a booth and they're busy doing business and you don't want to bother them. So you have to come back and make another visit. So that's just the way it works out.
So sometimes it's your exit. Like, because what happens is sometimes you do need to move on from a booth. Right. And they say, hey, wait a minute. Right. And then my thing is, well, I'll come back later. Right. Because sometimes I do need to move on. And I can't wait a minute because of schedules and appointments and just trying to get the people. So it has to be a very fast pace. And really that one, like usually like we've always talked about this on the show, the last booth of the day is kind of the one we'll park at, like,
right,
yeah, it's the best one. We find someone we know and we'll kind of sit there at that point.
Now I do want to say that I think last year I was very impressed with the number of brand owners, manufacturers that made appointments and stuck to those appointments. It was actually really impressive. I think it was like much better than any year prior. So
it's gotten a lot better. Yeah,
a lot better. Yep.
Yeah, and I think we have more appointments this year than, you know, every year we end up having more appointments.
Oh, my God. I have like 400 calendars.
I don't know how we're going to hit all these booths with all these appointments, but I'm sure we're going to have to cut some of the visits shorter just because we need to be able to have more time with, you know, the booths that we don't have appointments with.
We got to divide and conquer, baby.
Yeah, Bear, I was just telling you today, I think we're going to have to divide and conquer some of the appointments even. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise we're not going to get to every – like, my goal is 100 booths this year. It was 71 last year.
You're a crazy person.
But Bear was at most of those booths with me last year, so you know, now he's kind of got the lay of the land. You know, I think it's, we're going to have to divide and conquer.
Man, past that 93 booth mark, that is, I mean, you are yeah. scrambling.
Yeah, we're going to get, Coop's going to get stuck in a hookah booth with a sitar player, man.
All right. Companies that have still no clue how to deal with online media at the trade show. John, I'll start this one off with you. I mean, these are not going to be surprises for the most part, I think, on any of these.
No, I don't think. And you know, this is my experience. I haven't been going to the IPCPR as long as you have, Will, but this is my sixth IPCPR. Yeah. IPCPR. And top of the list is Fuente. I've never had a contact with Fuente. I've never had a discussion with Fuente in the Fuente booth. I've never had a discussion with Fuente about reviewing a new cigar from Fuente. And it's funny because, you know, when people talk about, you know, what are the sort of core brands, what are the recognizable brands, they always talk about Padron and Fuente. Curiously, and this will come up with somebody else, I've walked into the Fuente booth. I walked in with Robbie Rass. We looked like a bunch of California hillbillies with shorts and t-shirts. And we were like, hey, man, you know, is there any possibility we can get an interview? And the guy says, sure, let me see if George is available. And I turned to Rob and I'm like,
who's George?
I mean, he doesn't mean George Padron, right? Yeah, George Padron comes over. And, of course, George is always dressed to the nines.
Right.
George is like, hey, guys, you here for an interview? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed right now. We're talking to George Padron. I look like I just stepped off the beachfront. So, you know, I had a good experience at Padron, but
I have a follow-up story with that in a little bit with my, my moments. Yeah. So go ahead. Yeah. Keep going with that. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's all I got. So like literally, you know, 6 years of going to IPCPR, I have yet to have any experience at Fuente and, I mean, whatever, that's my experience. So no contacts, no emails, no press releases, nothing.
Aaron, what about you?
I would say Padron. I had 1 year where we had a kind of a meeting with them, but it didn't really lead to anything.
Right.
So nothing really happened there. And then I would say Perdomo. I don't think that they really, there's not much media interaction.
If you go into the Perdomo booth, go up to Nick, he may not help you personally, but he will get someone to help you. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you from my experience. Yeah. I've not had a problem in the Perdomo booth. Problem is I don't always get to that booth because he often doesn't have a lot of new stuff.
And I mean, a lot of these companies that we would talk about in regards to this are companies that, you know, probably don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, they are long established brands that they already have their, you know, sales outlets and all that stuff. Yep. And, you know, social media kind of aspect is probably way down on the list of where they need to focus their time.
I had Ashton on mine. Mm-hmm. They're completely clueless. Now with Fuente, I'm curious to see because JC Newman's made a real attempt in the last few months to really engage social media. There's a focus on that they've never had before.
Agreed.
I'm wondering if that will, because that's again the cigar family booths they're in, if something will change with that this year. Well, so I'm curious to see kind of go in there with a clean slate, but we've had very good, I mean, I know Aaron and I could speak. We've had very good interactions with the JC Newman people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew Newman's been all over social media.
Yeah, but even going there, he's always been all over social media. But I'm just saying, it just seems like they have someone now focused on that. That can. Drew State for a while had the same problem. For a long time, they were chaotic. They didn't have someone. And then when Sam came in there, he kind of really put the whole infrastructure in place on how to deal with the online media.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it used to be you go in there and you try to get to John.
That's night and day, man. Because last year, I mean, that was probably overall, like from start to finish, content, everything like that. Maybe you could argue Royal Agio, but I thought the Drew Estate booth experience was probably the most complete.
You go back before Sam. It was chaos.
It was a gong show. You'd go in there and you would probably commit. And I can't speak for Coop, but you would probably commit an hour of your day every day just trying to get a connection in the Drew Estate booth. Eventually, you wouldn't get anywhere, so you'd leave.
Yep.
Back throughout the day. And it like chaos. That's the best word is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sam did a really – and Joe's continuing that this year. So I don't see any problem with the continuity now with that. Bear, how about you?
Well, my experience is limited.
I know you. I know of one. I don't know if you want to talk about, but I know
no,
of one.
No, I'll mention it. I'm really interested. I would love to have a different experience this year. Last year I went to the Gurkha booth, and I met up with Luis Cuevas and Gabe Alvarez, who are as gracious as always because they're incredible. And I wanted, since I was there, I just wanted to stop in and, you know, make contact with somebody. And, I got blown off twice. I just completely looked through. And that's, you know, that doesn't upset me, really, because I mean, in the context of, you know, in the context of media, I've I had the benefit, Coop, as you mentioned, of going into all these booths with you last year for the most part, other than a couple of booths where I already had contacts. So that was relatively easy for me. But they don't know me, and I'm unknown, especially last year, especially a year ago.
Right.
I'm not upset about it. I would like to have a different experience there. But from feedback that I've gotten from other media members, they've had certainly more positive experiences than I had, because I don't think you can call my experience an experience, because again, it was non-existent. So, I've heard that it hasn't been too much better. So, I'd like to learn more, you know, I think Gurkha catches a bad rap. But I would like to be more engaged with them, because I would, you know, I'd like to be, you know, fair as I'm covering, you know, these, you know, all these cigar companies and stuff.
You just got to walk in there with that Seth Geiss, you got to learn that swagger, man. You got to walk in there.
I didn't know it was Seth's first show. Man. So, I mean, he had me fooled the whole freaking week. You know,
walk in like a fucking boss.
I'm the Sultan of some unnamed company. I have so much money. You don't even know, man. You better be on me.
I felt everyone was really friendly to me, I thought. So
one experience aside, I had a terrific experience. Everyone was incredibly gracious, man.
I think the longest we had to wait was at Tatuaje, but KC like apologized profusely. I mean, he was like, "Listen, I'm really sorry." And then he spent time with us.
You could show up 1 minute after the trade show opens and there's like 30 guys there. It's like, how did you get past me? That doesn't even make sense.
He was great to all of us, I thought.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah. I mean, even Nish spent time with us, and then he said he had to run, and Aaron, you and I, and he apologized, but he got some reps to really take care of us.
Got some Hamlet time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about.
Did you have a bet? Did you see anyone said that you thought was coolest with online media, like that we didn't mention?
You know, to some extent, I just think, to an extent, I think while General put a lot into bringing people to everything, I think they were clueless in the sense of like how to actually connect and how to get this product out. I think it was just more like, here, come get all your samples. Oh, here, meet this guy. Oh, go meet this guy. Oh, go meet this guy. And I think, like, you know, Sean did a good job of trying to talk with, like, Cohiba. And I think Justin was trying to do a good job. Jack didn't really have anything going on. But it's like, it was so, like, too super structured. Like, it was almost like they tried to do what Drew State did, but there was no connections in some ways.
Yep.
That's my opinion. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
All right. Let's talk about let's kind of go with some best IPCPR moments. John, I'll start off with you on this one.
So, I mean, obviously we've all been there for a number of years. Most of us have been there for a number of years. And this moment just stands out so clearly for me. This is my first IPCPR. We were at the Victor Vitale booth, and Victor's always a class act. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super class act. And this was, I can't remember the circumstances, but Armand Asante had a cigar line.
Oro Vivo.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good cigar, man.
And for those who aren't aware, Armand Asante, first of all, is like a legend in cinema. If you watch movies, Armand Asante is in like everything.
1492.
Yeah, and like everybody talks about Arnold, and yeah, Arnold smokes cigars, and Arnold has smoked cigars for a while. But Armand has been smoking cigars forever, and I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. All of that to lead into, I see Armand, and I'm like, holy shit, that's Armand Asante. Like, I immediately kind of go into fanboy mode, and Victor's like, yeah, man, you want to meet him? I'm like, yeah, I kind of do. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but I really do. So in classic fashion, Armand walks me over, and Armand says, hello, I'm Armand Asante. I'm an actor. And I'm like, what the fuck are you kidding me? I know you're an actor, man. I've seen like 110 of your movies. He's like, oh, that's very good. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I know your movies. What are you talking about? And he's like, would you like a picture with me? I'm like, yes, I would absolutely love a picture with you. Like, and it wasn't like a put on. It wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a fake thing. It was like, you know, hello, my name is Armand Asante. I'm an actor. And it's like, dude, you don't need to introduce yourself. I know who you are. And it was kind of checked every single box of, you know, meeting a icon, having a cigar with him, having a picture with him, and just absolute class act, 100%.
He worked that trade show too. He wasn't just there. He was working that trade show hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Victor's a guy who's missed at the trade show. Victor's big time. The show misses Victor. I can just tell you this. He always had a great presentation at the booth too.
The second quick story I had was the next year where I was talking to Victor about Japanese whiskey. It's a shame June's not on. And we were talking Japanese whiskey, and I said, yeah, man, I came across this, you know, really rare bottle or whatever. And he goes, oh, that's really interesting. He picks up his phone, and he's like, yeah. He's like, John, what was that called? Yeah. Have you heard of this? Yeah. Set me aside two bottles. Awesome. Okay, thanks. And I'm like, did you just call your whiskey guy? Like, do you have a whiskey guy on standby? And he's like, yeah, don't you have a whiskey guy? I'm like, no, I don't have a whiskey guy. Apparently, I got to have a whiskey
number.
Guy.
I will have one pretty soon.
Yeah. Yep. A whiskey guy on retainer, man. What's up with that?
All right. Bear, what about you?
I had a really very it was going to be a very emotional moment for me anyway, walking into the show for the first time. But I had a really, really cool experience that just kind of happened organically. So as we're kind of, you know, getting herded into the opening door, I've got my phone out. I'm taping it, obviously, and everything. And then right up next to me pops up Ryan Rodriguez of Ohana Cigars. And for those who don't know, Ryan's actually from the DFW area, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I met Ryan when he was working at a shop down here in Fort Worth called Bonton Relay Cigars. And at the time, he had just started kind of repping sort of for Clint Aaron of 262. It was when 262 had just launched that year. And so I met Ryan when he's still a quiet guy, but when he was just this quiet tobacconist at Bonton Relay, and we got to know each other a little bit. And then he would come in to Pop Safari, another cigar shop that I was working at a few years later. And I would start, and then he started his own brand, which completely took me by surprise. And I was really, really shocked and really excited for him and everything. And so for me, that was a really cool moment for two guys who, you know, kind of started off, you know, as nobodies, you know, in the cigar industry, for me to walk into the show with him, just of all people, it's a small world kind of thing. It was a really, really cool organic moment that just happened. And so it was really fantastic. And then, the sit down with Michael Herklotz last year at the Nat Sherman booth was
great. That was a great moment.
Was really classic.
We asked a lot of direct questions that.
Yeah, I think Coop will give me credit on this. I wasn't starstruck too much. I asked some tough questions and
yeah, you did.
And he gave us all the time in the world, was as candid as he could be. You know, and I thought that was a nice moment because, you know, it was, first of all, he knew me by name, which I was shocked. And I don't think it was quick enough for him to glance at my name tag, but that was a really cool thing. And then actually just the time and everything and the moment of sitting with him and and having an actual journalistic discussion with him was really, really insightful. So those were my two favorite moments.
Aaron, you didn't have a favorite moment, did you?
I didn't put any in because it was going to be very different than what you guys put in. And I'm not saying that the way you guys classify it is incorrect. It's not the case. Whatever your favorite moment is, your favorite moment. My favorite moments are usually not those interactions like that. Mine are more like the end of the trade show day.
Oh, yeah. That is a group.
Where you're just kind of like, kind of the pressure like drops a little bit. You're just kind of at ease. Or like last year back at the media house.
What about the cool hat moment?
Dude, yeah, that's my best awkward moment. Yeah, and awkward moment. The Ed Reed moment. Ed Reed was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's not a too bad of a moment. I mean, just getting to hang out at the house, you know, with Hector and Sokka.
That was a great night. 4 in the morning, Sokka stayed at. Everyone went to bed and Sokka's still there.
Yeah, man. I mean, John and I were up with Sokka till what was like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I know I bailed out early.
But I was like, you know, I was like, I'm not going. If Steve's going to continue talking tobacco and cigars and whatever, I'm not going to bed. Like, I don't care. If we need to push through the next day, I don't care.
Yeah. I haven't been to, you know, to any of the cigar producing countries or anything like that. So I haven't had like those sit down times with people like that. So when I get those moments, you know, at a booth, you know, like just like that time when we were talking to Skip in the aisle when we're just talking like business and stuff like that. It's just like, those are the moments that like, I kind of like think like, this is a cool moment. Like, I mean, you know, we're like getting away from just kind of talking about specific cigars and stuff like that. And just kind of BSing about whatever. Those are the moments that kind of stand out to me as ones that I like.
You seemed pretty high on the, about as excited as I've seen you when you guys did the FSG Preferido experience.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And you know, we've had a lot of time to sit down with Jeff and talk to him about stuff, but yeah. I don't know if he may have done this with everybody, and that this may be how he operates. But it just seemed like it was such an extended amount of time that we were sitting down with Jeff, and he was just going through like how excited he was about the tobacco. How excited we were from his interaction. Like, yeah, it was a special experience, but like it almost, you know, got away from the moment of, you know, we're just visiting this subsection of this booth. It was more of just like, all right, I want to talk to you guys about this. And we just sat down and we just talked about that. So that was a good point, Brett. That was a good moment.
And it could have been 20 minutes, but it felt like an hour. And I don't mean it felt like an hour in a bad way. I mean, it felt like time stopped and we could have talked to him for 10 hours and time would have just passed like it was nothing. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I have three. I'll go quick with them. 2010, Mike Giannini, I think it was the third booth I went to. I was nobody. Cigar Cuba had barely been in its inception. Mike Giannini, I walk in there. He asked who I am. We just start talking. He was doing LaGloria Cubana at the time. He took 45 minutes of his time. I couldn't, and they were packed in this booth. And he spent all his time with me, which is why, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. He did that for me that year. 2012 was the year, next one. 2012 was the year I decided to do video at the show, which was a disaster, right? So one of the video interviews I do is with Joe Ganascoli, who I do know. He's of the Sopranos fame. I do the video interview with Joe. And he goes, hey, you want to do one more interview? And I go, with who? He goes, with Gary. And I'm like, Gary who? And he goes, Gary Sheffield over in the Rocky booth. I said, there's no way I'm going to get over there. He goes, wait here. He brings Gary Sheffield over, and I do a video interview with Gary Sheffield.
Oh, yes.
It's out there on my YouTube page. And Gary couldn't have been – I mean, I got a whole different – like, I always thought Gary was a little bit of a surly baseball player and stuff. Completely different opinion of him after that. He was it was great, you know, just to do that and not do a – we talked a little cigars, but we talked some baseball and stuff as well, which was – so that video is still out there. It's a very crude video. And after that show, I said, I don't do a lot of video after that. And in 2013, we're in the Circle Bar. We being Stace Berkland and I, who you guys folks may know from – he's been at Sokka's booth. He was there with a retailer that year. And we see Mike Ditka and the Camacho people going over to the Davidoff kiosk. And we go over there just to introduce ourselves. and we do a photo op, and then Ditka invites us over to the Circle Bar to sit and smoke with him, and we were with him for a couple hours.
That would be pretty incredible.
Yeah, yeah, Stace will, and the interesting thing is they were very guarded with Mike at first because, you know, but we did know they had a person named Courtney Aiken who was working there at the time, and Stace knew her really well. So they were guarded, but they were comfortable. We found out later they don't do that with everybody. They weren't doing that with everybody. So Courtney and Dylan were there. So that was awesome. I always tell the story when I'm smoking a cigar, and I think I was smoking some sort of like Davidoff, and he basically turns to me, looks at me, and he says, "You know, I don't understand it. You guys, you media bloggers, you hate 60-ring gauge cigars." And we're like, so the smile comes back, and I go, "Hey, Mike, I love big ring gauge cigars too." He's like, "All right." He's like, "That's what I want to hear." All right. So now we have best moments. Let's go to awkward moments. There's a couple of good ones here. I'll go first, right? Because mine are not as exciting as the others, right? To tell the story of Padron, John, you had a story of Padron. Mine was the total opposite. In 2014, Seth, this is before we did the Padron interview, right?
Okay.
I decide I'm going into the booth and I'm going to talk to Padron, right? I'm going to talk to them. I put on my best suit, right? I took like a really good suit. I was dressed really nice. And I walk in there, and I just start, like, how can I put this? Rudy Padron comes up to me, and I'm like, I start doing the Ralph Cramden, like, I got really nervous. I don't know what happens. And Rudy just says, "Hey, calm down." He goes, "You can do whatever you want here." And he goes, "I'll bring Georgia over to you." And he did. So, but I was very, I just froze up and got real nervous with that one. You know, I don't normally get like that. I don't know why I was. And then, you know, I got the year after, it was awesome because I went into the booth and Seth and I had already interviewed George and he knew us. And George is handing me cigars. And people are like, "How did you get cigars from George?" I'm like, "Well, you know, what can I say?" So it was the opposite experience. Like I said, once we got access to them, it was great, you know, being in the booth. But I got real nervous, probably more nervous than I ever got in a booth before.
Should have rolled in like a beach bum like John, apparently, and you would have been fine.
Yeah. And then PDR, that was the year I was doing video, and I had a video interview. I had something scheduled with Abe Flores. And let's be honest, sometimes people have a bad day at the show. That was the wrong day to interview Abe Flores, as I'll just tell you. It was not a good interview. In fact, I didn't even use the video. He was just not in a good mood. He did not want me there. I mean, he's always been good to me. I know him, but for whatever reason, he just did not want me in this booth that year. He's like, "I don't feel," you know, he was like, "I'm done." Like, basically, he walked away. So, I knew when to fold it on that one. So, but like I said, I've always had good experiences after that with him. So, I do know sometimes people have bad days at the trade show. I think he was having a bad day, is what I'll just chalk it up to. Because I didn't have a problem the year after. And I knew Abe from, like, the old Outland days. He used to come into Charlotte a lot. So it's not like I didn't know him. So, but something was going on that day. All right. John, I think you should go next.
So this is actually a story that I don't think I've ever told on the air. It's only a story I've ever told privately. But I feel like enough years have passed. So this was...
Statute of limitations is passed.
That's right. Statute of limitations is passed. So this was my first IPCPR, and we were trying to get some interview time with Matt Booth. And in 2014 in Las Vegas, Matt Booth was like one of the hottest properties in the show. Like, you could not get time with Matt. Like,
I remember the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, we must have gone back. Like, I swear to gosh, we went back six times a day, and it was the second or the third day. And Matt said, "Look, man, like, I'm really sorry. I know you guys keep coming back. I really want to spend time with you. Do you mind hanging out for like, I know it's a pain in the ass, but do you mind hanging out for 45 minutes? Just so I finish this meeting with a retailer and I'll come back and I swear I'll give you time." And we're like, "Hey man, like, business first, you know, whatever, whatever." And he's like, "No, just hang out for 45 minutes. No problem." So we hung out for 45 minutes and it was more like an hour and 15 minutes, and that's fine. And he comes back and he's like, "Let's go." So we're getting set up for the interview and a retailer comes in and it immediately gets out of hand where the retailer's like, hey, man, and he gets all aggressive. And Matt's like, yeah, no problem. You know, I'm just going to do this interview and then we'll chat. And the guy's like, you know, F you, if you don't have time for me. And I was like, whoa, this is like watching mom and dad fight. I'm really uncomfortable right now. And I was with Logan at the time and I'm looking at Logan. Logan's like, I don't know what's going on. I've never run into this before.
Yeah.
And then the guy like throws cigars at Matt and Matt throws cigars back at him. And I'm like,
wow,
what is going on here? And the guy kind of like, there was some words exchanged and some words I don't want to, you know, air. And then the interview started and Matt's like, let's go. And if you want to, you can kind of get the after effects of it. If you go to the Matt Booth interview, just to, I guess, promote Cigar Federation 2014, if you watch the first minute, you'll get it from Matt and you'll get it from Logan because Logan kind of references it. It was one of the most uncomfortable, but to Matt's credit, he handled it like a boss. He just said, look, man, these guys have been waiting an hour and 15 minutes. I told them I'd give 10 minutes of my time, like chill out. And the guy just lost his.
I think Logan had told me that story. Yeah. He's got a new, yeah. Wow.
It was honestly, like I said, it was like watching mom and dad fight. And I was like, should we leave? Cause this is really, really uncomfortable right now, but it was funny.
So I want to save Aaron and Bear for last with these two. Seth, do you have an awkward moment from your show?
Oh, mine was just awkward and best with Ed Reed. Ned Reed comes, he's walking by and he's like, I'm like,
oh, dude, that was the best.
I was like, oh shit, it's Ed Reed. I have no idea what the fuck to say to him. I'm just like looking at him like, and then he wanted a DP hat, which was fucking sweet. He's like, I like that hat. We're like, take it.
He will be at the trade show this year. I have confirmation of that. He'll be over at Placencia.
Yeah, him and Javi are boys, man.
Yeah, they're big. He's texting with him all the time. Yeah, they were texting yesterday, in fact.
I would actually love to get some time with Ed Reed. That'd be awesome.
Dude, the guy was still like fucking jacked and in shape, yep. Dude.
Oh, yep. It would have killed all four of us. Wouldn't even slow
him. Totally.
Yep. Wow.
Don't throw that cigar. Don't throw that cigar.
All right. I'm going to go to Aaron next. I got to save the Bear one for last.
All right. 2015, we're in the general booth. We're talking to Rick Rodriguez about the CAO Pallon. Kind of in a spot where like he's at this little, almost like a little bar thing set up, but there's a bunch of cigars behind him on shelves and things like that. But Rick's kind of posted up between the bar and those shelves. And we're kind of chit-chatting with him. He's, you know, he does his spiel about the cigar and all that stuff, and Cigar Dave rolls into the booth. He kind of puts his hand on Rick Rodriguez's shoulder. He says, hey, Rick, I'm just here for some cigars. And he squeezes between Rick to get to the shelf, and he just – I don't know how he got so many cigars in his hand, but he just kind of scooped and came out, and he said, this is okay, right? And then he didn't wait for an answer. He just kind of bailed. And we're just like – everybody's just got eyes that are like wide open and just like, all right, I guess that's normal. But, you know, Rick – the look on Rick Rodriguez's face was priceless because he was like as stunned as we were. It didn't seem like that was the relationship they had, but Dave thought that was the relationship they had. So
I think
an interesting moment.
Yeah, that was that. You know, everyone knows the story about when he was barging through the booze one year. I don't know if that was the. I think it was before that year though. They get him on video and he barges into.
That was last year, yeah. Man. He was grabbing people for his live video feed, and they were like, people were ambushed.
He blew off Jose. Remember, he blew off Jose Blanco. He just goes right past Jose Blanco to Ernie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. All right. So Cigar Dave, Bear, I'm glad you're telling this story because I felt a little weird telling this story, but it was a pretty good one. I got to admit.
It was awkward, but I think it was also kind of best at the same time.
Yeah.
Again, just to kind of reiterate, last year was my first year at IPCPR. I already told you guys about my experience at a booth where I was blown off. And again, I'm not upset about it. But so the polar opposite happens. We get a great sit down with Bill Paley. We're there for an hour. We have an hour of time with him. And we had just sat down. We're maybe 2 minutes into this. And in walks the general, Cigar Dave walks in. And he kind of gets the brush off like from both Bill and Clay and like, hey, he's busy. Like, I'm busy. And they kind of paused. We kind of paused the interview, and I'm like, "What's going? What's going on?"
We thought for sure we were going to get blown off at that point.
Yeah, we thought we were going to get
And
then so they take a timeout for a second, and Bill's talking to somebody else, and Coop looks over at me. He's like, "We just got Cigar Dave kicked out of the booth," and I was like,
"Yeah, he left."
Oh my God, he left. That's awesome. Yeah.
he realized he wasn't going to get help, and they weren't going to leave us. And I thought for sure we were going to get told goodbye, right?
Yeah.
And it was the opposite. He didn't get his cigars or anything. He was not happy.
No, man, because he went back. Actually, he went looking for something. He almost kind of got, I wouldn't say ushered, but he left. But he went like looking behind a counter for some.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and I was like, what the hell's he doing? Like it was awesome, man. I felt so big time. I was like, heck yeah, this is great.
And the funny thing is, John was that was a famous John conversation at the general cigar party. Right, when Cigar Dave was there, no one would talk to him. Right. And then finally John just starts this conversation. And this was a couple days before that, right?
Yeah, John just walks up, they're buddies now, you know.
Yeah, they're talking. I'm taking pictures. I'm posting pictures of these two guys. Like, look. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm looking over the table. I'm like, I'm mouthing, like, help me.
Yeah, we all knew that,
like,
it was.
Oh, you're on your own. We
all knew that you.
Oh, stop it, John. You know, you guys are like texting buddies now, man. You're probably talking to him.
I thought you were gonna be on. I thought you were gonna be on. What do you call it? The Cigar Dave Show or something? Maybe.
Cigar Dave Show.
Yeah.
Never got my invite. It's weird.
Yep.
It got lost in the mail, dude.
Okay. So. One more topic, a short one, I promise. Alec Bradley Live True segment. Well, we're going to do a little bit of a lifestyle piece on IBCVR. And as always, it's sponsored by Alec Bradley. Do you really want to hear another cigar ad that talks about fillers, binders, wrappers, and aging, ratings, blah, blah, blah? How about this? Pick up an Alec Bradley cigar, smoke it, enjoy it, spend an hour with it. You'll be one happy camper. Learn more at alecbradley.com. So this is our Alec Bradley Live True segment where we talk about lifestyle. And here's the question I want to pose to the panel tonight. It's a simple question. The question I have is, you are in Vegas and you want to have one meal in Vegas. What will that meal be? And I'm going to start this one off with Seth.
That's not there.
Of course, Seth left.
He's going to say tofu.
He left.
Or oh, yeah. Salad.
No, I didn't see because I'm not looking at that. Okay, yeah, hemp, salad, yeah. Asparagus. Okay, yeah, we'll skip him. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to John.
Now, you know that I have a fat guy trapped inside of me.
Right.
Just ready to get out all the time, wanting to eat all the time. For me, I mean, I don't think this is possible, but for me, the ultimate experience is finding just like a really great steakhouse in Vegas and getting one of those crazy tomahawk steaks and just eating until I literally can't eat anymore and then having a cigar with the meal. That would be, to me, the perfect experience.
I'm going to say that was exactly mine, and it might happen this year.
Oh, don't tease me, man. If it's not going to happen...
It's gonna happen, but I don't know if it's gonna happen for you. It's gonna happen for me. So yeah, that was exactly what mine was.
Oh man, I'd be so excited.
Yeah, so that's exactly the one.
All right, Seth's back. He can chime in now.
Seth, what meal do you want to have in Vegas? We were kind of speculating what you want to eat in Las Vegas, and we had like salads,
tofu
salads. Man, actually, you know, gosh, either like a probably, I don't know, man. Does Jetta De La Renta have a restaurant out there? There's some really good Italian food.
But only if she's there, I mean.
Only if
yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's some good Italian food or Indian food, man.
Indian food? Mel was Indian food a couple years ago. Mel from Menba.
I'm not one of these, like, meat and potato, man. I just like, I like going through, like, the, more of the Asian foods.
We have to, yep. Yeah.
Mel took us to a really good Indian. Mel from Mbal Bay took us to a really good Indian place. That was some tasty food.
That was you want to talk about awkward moments? I'll just leave it at that.
It wasn't awkward for me, Will.
No. That's true. It wasn't awkward for you. It wasn't. You handled like a pro. Yeah. I actually thought of another awkward moment, but I'm not going to repeat that story. Okay. All right, Bear. What about you?
Well, the one of the I feel like the worst kept secrets about Vegas is the Venetian has the best breakfast buffet ever. It's awesome. But I'll tell you the best breakfast that I've ever eaten in Las Vegas, and I think we should try to do it at some point, gents, is if you like Eggs Benedict, they have about 10,000 varieties of it at this beautiful, awesome bistro outside of Paris, the hotel called Mona. It's the restaurant's called Mon Ami Gabi. It's friggin' amazing. I love Eggs Benedict. That place was like invented for me. Yeah. And it's the shit, and we should all go.
So,
did that burgers there?
Jesus Christ! They do have a burger version.
I don't want egg on my burger. I want a burger. I want a burger.
I'm
I don't.
Sure, they'll remove the egg for you. You sensitive bastard.
what's the breakfast place you're thinking of? With
Grand, I think Grand Lux. Are you talking about the Grand Lux?
I think he's probably talking about the Grand Lux.
Yeah, I think he's talking about the Grand Lux.
So here's what's going to break your brain, Bear. If you go to the Grand Lux and you don't have the breakfast buffet, but you order off the menu, it will change your life.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I've heard that from other people, too.
Yeah, I had to drag Logan and a bunch of other guys to the Grand Lux, and they're like, man, this is taking so much of my morning. And they ended up getting biscuits and gravy because, you know, Texans. And I was like, how's the biscuits and gravy? And all I heard was like groaning and grunting and stuff. And I'm like, so some pretty good biscuits and gravy, huh? It is the only breakfast place that I've ever been to where I think I've made my way around half the menu, which is, it's a big menu, but every single thing I've had off that menu for breakfast has been the best thing that I've ever had for breakfast. Phenomenal. But you need like 45 minutes to an hour to do it. So yeah, it takes a long time.
Awesome. Awesome. So I think there you go.
Let's try to get Coop to eat eggs.
That ain't going to happen. That is not going to, maybe I can get a side of mushrooms or something.
Breakfast burger.
A burger, just a burger. All right. So anyway, so I think
I had one and Christine Morgan mentioned it in the chat, but I think it'd be cool if we all went to the Golden Steer for steak.
Let's do it.
Maybe the last day or something like that after the, you know, on Tuesday night or something like that.
We got to find Coop some noodles too, man.
Well, I think the ramen will be the Tuesday lunch, I was thinking.
Tuesday lunch.
Yeah, it's, I think
the tradition.
Lunch. Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to have June there, though.
That's all right.
Yeah, well, we're skipping Momofuku. I know that.
Yeah. No, all the ramen places I've been told are off the strip.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah, so I have some recommendations I can probably run by us, and we can do some evaluation at the compound during the week. Yeah. So I didn't think Momofuku was bad. It just wasn't
ramen. Well, we went the year before, and it was pretty good. But then,
they moved the menus, as I think, or something.
Yeah, it just wasn't as good.
Yeah, the menu changed is what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the year before it was.
Whoa! Skip says he's going to buy us all steak at Golden Steer.
We're in.
Tuesday night, Skip.
Tuesday night.
The year before it was like a classic ramen place where they had like, the pork belly.
Thank you, Skip.
multiple eggs, et cetera, et cetera. And then they had a whole bunch of sides. So you could add like seaweed, more eggs, more pork belly. And so that was the experience that I was expecting. And then we went there and I was like, oh no, what have I done? This is not the restaurant we were at last year. And it was,
I didn't blame you for that. Like people said, I blamed you. No, I thought it was still a good meal. Actually,
it was very disappointing compared to what it was the year before.
That's what you guys were saying.
I believe John for saying the Britney Spears machines were hot. And I lost
Dude, Britney Spears
there.
Machines are hot. I'm telling you, if you want to make money, play the Britney Spears machine.
Yeah, I lost my money, man.
Hot.
I gambled once in Vegas last year at IPCPR, and it was at the airport on the way out.
That's what I do, yeah. That's a traditional – when I fly to Vegas, and I do fly to Vegas.
Made $7.57, baby. Whew.
What I do is I take about $40 into that smoking room, and I get to the airport early, and I smoke in there.
Yeah.
I do the Monopoly machines. And for whatever reason, every time I find a really good Monopoly machine, I tend to do pretty well. But back to the topic at hand, super in for steak, by the way, 100%.
I'm in.
Every day.
We can have an ICAP over at the media compound.
Okay. Hell yeah.
So, Skip, definitely plan on that, yeah.
Lock it down.
Wow.
Coop, I got to go, man. I got to get up in like 4 hours.
All right, yeah. I'm going to wrap it up, but you can go. Thank you very much, Seth, for joining. We're going
to close. I just got to wake up for Roger and Rafa, so.
Oh, okay. All right, buddy. Thanks again for making the time.
Guys, later.
All right. So, just kind of wrap up the show. Thanks to everyone. Thanks, John, Bear, Aaron, June, and Seth as well. Part two, actually, next week we have two shows. Bear and I will be doing Special Edition 55. Al McAuliffe will be the guest from Texas. So we'll be talking to – I've never talked to Al before, so that's going to be pretty good. And then part two of our IPCBR pregame series, we're bringing back the Titans. Skip Martin, Hector Alfonso, and Steve Sacca.
Dude.
And I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot of topics.
It was – I think
it's Red Bull ready.
That was my favorite show in I don't know how many years. It was a phenomenal show. The flow was great. The discussion was phenomenal. That is not going to be a show you want to miss.
No, it's an exciting
show. Couldn't agree more, John.
It's going to be an exciting show, it was one of our highest rated shows. Actually, it's still I think number three of all time. The recent one that went number one was the Cigar of the Year show. So stay tuned on that. And then the following week is episode 100 of and Aaron and I will be doing our big IPCBR deep dive where we'll be just talking about all the companies, all the releases. And I got a lot of feedback. Like, people were asking me when that show was coming. Retailers. I had two retailers actually ask me about that show. So, yeah. And so I told them it's episode 100. So, and that will be the last show before IPCBR. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's going to wrap up Primetime episode 98 into the annals of history for Thursday, June 6th, now Friday, June 7th on the East Coast. We will see everybody next week. Have a great night, everybody.
See you next time.
Take care.
We're not down yet.
Wait for it.
Very good.
Oh, shoot, I forgot to hit the record button.
Yeah, it's still recording.